your Monday. Email me anytime tomorrow at krxa540.com. And remember, you are beautiful and you can be fulfilled without consuming. Share more, consume less, because tomorrow really matters. You bet it does. Please stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Avandia, diabetes drug number one, may lead to a heart attack. That's what a new study claims in the New England Journal of Medicine. Dr. Stephen Nissen at the Cleveland Clinic.
It's very important that we not have a public panic here. We want patients to talk to their physicians. We want physicians to read our study carefully and make their own minds up.
The FDA's alert today says, patients, check with your doctors. Mary Ann Ryan at GlaxoSmithKline.
We look forward to presenting the data that we have, having a discussion about that.
As for safety,
we strongly believe in the safety and benefits of Avandia.
GlaxoSmithKline makes about $3 billion a year on Avandia. Attention to the women within earshot.
What would you say about a birth control pill that stops periods completely?
I would say that's a great product.
The makers of Librel hope a lot of other women will agree with that. Gynecologist Ann Davis, who helped test this pill, believes it's safe. She says just like now, there are certain women who shouldn't use hormonal contraception.
A woman, for instance, who's older and smokes, a woman who's had a cardiovascular disease, those types of issues.
In studies, 6 in 10 women had no bleeding after 6 months on Librel. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
He's running for president officially now, New Mexico's Bill Richardson.
This nation needs a leader with a proven track record, an ability to bring people together to tackle our problems here at home and abroad.
Richardson has been governor, congressman, and ambassador, and has handled domestic issues at the state and federal level and has been involved in a lot of highly sensitive international negotiations. Well, at least 79 people are dead in Lebanon, battles between the army and Al-Qaeda-inspired militants in a Palestinian refugee camp. A ceasefire was announced, and then big explosion in Beirut in the mainly Sunni district of Verdun. Cars burned, windows broke, at least 7 people were injured there. Iraq's defense minister says his military is drawing up plans just in case the U.S. and coalition forces leave his country too quickly. CBS News military analyst Mike Lyon, Army Major, retired.
Well, I think it's a good exercise for them to do this, but they're not going to be able to do this by themselves. They're going to need significant help from very senior U.S. military officers who've got experience from a logistical perspective.
It was the first public statement about the possibility of a quick end to the U.S. mission, however. MySpace.com says it will immediately begin sharing dates and data on registered sex offenders in its registry, finally, says North Carolina Attorney General Roy Cooper.
Parents know better than anyone that we have to keep barriers between predators and children. And this information can help us do that.
7,000 sexual predators have been found and removed from that database so far. Wall Street, the Dow lost 13 points. NASDAQ gained 20. Oil prices, $66.27 a barrel, up $1.33. This is CBS News.
For TomTom Radio, this is the Slick Talking Radio Guy.
Let's say you've just purchased a new TomTom. First of all, congratulations. Chances are you smell great and people like you. Now, pretend you're driving down the road when you hear this.
Turn right on Elm Street.
Sweet marmalade! You think for yourself, this can't be. It's just too easy. And you're right, because any box that sits above your dash and reads you directions with spoken street names is just that. Easy!
Astoundingly easy. That's TomTom, the number 1-1 GPSS in the world.
The Joneses like things fast. They use Zantac. It's fast. Like last night after dinner.
Heartburn?
Painful.
Zantac.
Thank you.
And then later.
Better?
Completely.
Zantac's fast.
The Joneses know Zantac quickly relieves the toughest heartburn. And more. Like before the Joneses family barbecue.
Ribs?
Heartburn.
Zantac.
First?
Prevents.
Amazing.
Zantac's fast.
Zantac before a meal prevents heartburn. Zantac after a meal quickly stops heartburn. Maximum strength Zantac. It's
fast.
Uses directed controls heartburn in 30 to 60 minutes.
Immigration reform in the Senate. A distance to go between agreement and an actual bill.
One of the key negotiators of the bipartisan proposal, Democrat Edward Kennedy, says it's an immigration law for the modern age.
Our plan is strong, realistic, and fair.
Republican Jeff Sessions complains it's complex and was crafted by a small cabal of senators and needs a lot of work.
There are 85 other senators here who have no idea what's in it. There's no way they could.
Members of both sides will be offering amendments as the immigration debate kicks into high gear. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
9-year-old German girl, outraged that her mom told her to clean her room, hung a sign out the window which said, "Help, please, call the police." Figured she'd get mama in trouble. Passerby saw the sign, called the cops. They came in really fast. But when officers saw the room, they told the girl, "Wow, what a mess. Listen to your mama and clean it up." They came back 2 hours later, too, just to make sure. And it was clean. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Excuse me, I have a car reserved under Mitchell.
Black sedan, stall number 13.
Can you tell me how to get to the Palisades Hotel?
I never heard of it. Next!
Navigate a new city like a local with a Garmin Nuvi GPS. Just tap the screen to look up addresses and hotels.
Turn right on Cherry Street.
Hey, lady, you want my lucky rabbit's foot?
Garmin, the leader in navigation.
What are you really getting in most burger joints? Could it be a bigger waistline, a lack of energy too? So how about great flavor without the flab and fat? The new Subway Fresh Fit Meals fit into the American Heart Association's approach to a healthy lifestyle. With a choice of tasty subs with 6 grams of fat or less, better for you sides and a drink. The new Subway Fresh Fit Meals. Subway. Eat fresh.
Refers to regular 6-inch Subway white elite bread without condiments that contain fat. See store for additional nutritional information, including sodium content. Subway is a registered trademark of Backers Associates, Inc.
Peter B. Collins.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Hey, what's so funny? Oh, Alberto Gonzalez is still the Attorney General? Now that's a laugh. Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. We've got a lot to talk about, some great people to talk with, and you're included in that. You can join the conversation whenever you like, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Eric Bollard from Media Matters will join us in a moment. We'll talk about the media's performance. Pretty crappy last week in a lot of fronts. We'll tell you why. Coming up later this hour, the call for impeachment for Alberto Gonzalez. And there's a no-confidence vote wending its way through the Congress this week. Jim Dean, that's Howard's brother, from Democracy for America, will join us in half an hour. An hour from now, a distinguished professor of international law from Ohio State University, John Quigley, returns to our program. He last advised us on the U.S. War Powers Act and prompted Congressman Sam Farr to introduce that bill to repeal the authorization that led us into Iraq. He'll be with us in the next hour to talk with us about the violence that has broken out between Israel and Palestine and also in Tripoli, Lebanon over the weekend. Also on today's show, the chair of California's Budget Committee, Assemblyman John Laird, the Democrat from Santa Cruz. His district also includes Monterey. He'll be with us to talk about the budget. And we promise, won't put you to sleep with a lot of detailed numbers, but we'll talk about the overview and how California now has the distinction of funding its prisons at a higher level than our colleges and universities. Gulag, California. Also on today's program, as we kick off the Free Speech Zone, we'll spend a few minutes with Tyson Slocum from Public Citizen about the escalation of gas prices. There's a little map on the morning TV show as I open one eye today. And the reddest state on the map with the highest gasoline prices at the pump, California. Also, for a little relief, we're going to check in with Reverend Billy of the Church of Not Shopping, fresh back from a court appearance today. We'll see what kind of trouble the Rev has got himself into. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you want to drop me an email, I'd love to hear from you with ideas or criticism, topics, guests you'd like to hear on the program. Just send it to humblehost@peterbcollins.com. And a couple of quick program notes. Tomorrow and Wednesday, I will be here. And our program will be recorded for rebroadcast for the first time this coming weekend in Portland, Oregon. We are getting on the number one progressive station in the country, KPOJ 620, And so normally the Thursday and Friday shows will be played back there on the weekend, but since I'm not going to be here this Thursday and Friday, tomorrow and Wednesday, and what that means is there won't be references to the date and time and the fact that I'm sneaking away Thursday and Friday of this week, Monday and Tuesday of next week, to attend my stepson's graduation in the East. And so I will be live Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week for you. Replays on Monday, Memorial Day, and on Thursday, Friday, and Tuesday, if you're keeping all this straight, my good friend Tony Truppiano from Detroit will be live from the Motor City and sitting in for me here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hope you got all that. Eric Bullard, is one of our correspondents at Media Matters for America. Their powerful website takes a look at the performance of the media and where it comes up short. And they do a great job on the web at mediamatters.org. Eric, welcome to the show today.
Hey, Peter. Thanks for having me.
You bet. There's a lot to talk about. First up, I want to talk about the James Comey testimony before the United States Senate last week.
Right.
Deeply embarrassing to Alberto Gonzalez. In my view, it is a Watergate-level episode. And I was around for Watergate. In fact, it helped me with some of my early success as a talk show host. But ABC and CBS, at least as of the last time I checked, have not bothered to report in any way, shape, or form this deeply damaging testimony that came from the guy who was acting attorney general. And also, if they wanted to spin it right, this is the most shining moment of John Ashcroft's tenure as attorney general.
Right. John Ashcroft was the good guy.
Yeah.
Which shows you sort of what the state of things at the White House are. You know, the television news is always saying they need a narrative. You know, they want to be storytellers. They like something dramatic. You know, this was probably, although this tale had been told secondhand before, Comey's testimony was the first time he was telling it. And as everyone pointed out, Jon Stewart had this funny bit about how it really was out of like a B-movie. I mean, it was a thriller, a sort of a D.C. thriller scenario. He talked about how he raced over to the hospital where John Ashcroft and his wife were, trying to beat Alberto Gonzalez and Andy Card, who had direct orders from Bush to get to Ashcroft, get him to sign off on this wiretapping. And Comey beat him there, and Ashcroft sort of summoned all of his energy, post-surgery energy up, sort of lift his head off the pillow and said, I'm not going to sign it.
Now, Eric, this is something that Aaron Sorkin might have written before he went to rehab.
Right, and no one would have believed it. but you know, so A, of course it's newsworthy, and there's no excuse why ABC and CBS haven't touched it. And B, you know, it's this made-for-television scenario, and they still don't, you know, they still don't report it. It's really quite amazing, and there's really no explanation whatsoever. I mean, obviously it got big play in the New York Times and the Post, and sort of the very Beltway stuff. But, you know, that is the definition of news. That should be, if not the lead item on the network news, depending on the day, certainly one of the two or three most important stories about how this administration was so bent on getting through this, unconstitutional wiretapping provision that they tried to, raise John Ashcroft from his hospital bed, and if it wasn't for his deputy there sort of standing by his side, who knows what would have happened. Well, so, yeah, I mean, it's obviously news.
And what were they doing? You know, Comey put it in the polite, legalese, diplomatic terms that they were proposing to continue the NSA wiretapping, and quote-unquote, their proposal did not conform with the law. Now, what he was saying is it was illegal, and they were trying to force him to sign off on it. He refused, so they get Ashcroft, who is barely conscious, they're in ICU, and they try to get him to sign off on their illegal program, and he refuses. Now this is a stunning effort to bypass the Constitution, the rule of law, and to further subrogate a Justice Department that is clearly a political extension of the White House.
I mean, whenever you have a scenario like this or a situation like this, it's almost knee-jerk, and I try not to do it too often, but you think, what would have happened if the Clintons had done this?
Mm-hmm.
What have happened if, Webb Hubble in 1993, had gone to someone's hospital bed to try to overturn some investigation or something. And, I mean, it would have been, Nightline would have done it five nights in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally.
Yeah.
But there's this, you know, I wrote a book called Lapdogs, How the Press Rolled Over for Bush. I mean, there is just this absolute refusal to engage in the same type of aggressive reporting and investigation. I mean,
well, let me extend.
This was Comey telling it on his own. I mean, it wasn't even a great effort of the press.
Right.
But then he comes out and tells his tale, and everyone, I mean, that posted, you know, the Post and the Times did a couple of angry editorials, but it certainly didn't dominate the cable shows and the weekend shows. And it was just sort of like a ho-hum, you know, Bush tried to undercut the Constitution.
Well, Eric Bollert, let me extend and perhaps tragically torture your lapdog metaphor. But the follow-up was even more lame because we have this Rose Garden news conference where the poodle from Britain was there to accept some milk bones from the President of the United States. And when I watched the PBS NewsHour that night, they gave 10 or 11 minutes to Bush and Blair. And mostly just the happy talk and them patting each other on the back. There was very little controversy permitted to be covered. And they completely omitted Kelly O'Donnell's question and follow-up from that very news conference. And to my knowledge, it only made it onto the NBC channels.
And wasn't that when Bush said, I'm not going to talk about it?
Yeah.
I mean, basically totally stiff-armed the press saying, I'm not going to talk about it, which, again, really...
And why didn't the lapdogs go into pack mode and just dominate that news conference and every one of them keep asking about it until he relented or at least came away deeply embarrassed?
I don't, you know, again, if the president, you know, it's not like there was an ongoing criminal investigation. It's not like he was hindered by anything other than pure embarrassment that he didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah, not so like the Libby case?
Says, basically, I'm too embarrassed to talk about it. The press then says, oh, okay, let's talk about something else.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not the way the press is really supposed to function.
Well, he has the empty dodge. You know, he still has not ever addressed what is now the Libby conviction. Libby is due to be sentenced in the next few days.
Right.
And he still maintains that he can't talk about it because it's an ongoing criminal case. That's BS.
Well, the only time he's going to talk about it is, I think, when he explains his pardon.
Right.
But that's a whole other story.
Indeed.
But, yeah, right. I mean, he's able to avoid discussing pressing issues by basically saying, you know, I don't want to talk about it, which I can't really think of a previous precedent where a president in an embarrassing situation essentially labels an entire topic off limits during open press conferences.
Well, and it appears that it may have been the president himself who made the call to Mrs. Ashcroft saying,
he was a central player, absolutely.
We're sending a couple of goons over there named Gonzalez and Card. Let them in despite your orders barring visitors to this ICU unit.
Right, it was John Ashcroft, and his wife had given the word, he's too ill, he's too tired to see anyone. And from what we understand, Bush, as you say, put the call into the hospital saying you need to make an exception for Gonzalez and Card.
And the press isn't interested in that.
This was not like the press is asking him about secondhand accounts or,
right.
or you know, he was a central player in this tale.
Right. We're going to continue in just a moment here with Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America on the web at mediamatters.org. You got a comment? Give me a call. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. 18 minutes after the hour. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Ocean's 18, finally a real 18-hole miniature golf course in town. Open every day from noon till 10, 11 on the weekends. Whether you're 6 or 96, this blacklight golf course is fun for the whole family. Just a few steps from the Monterey Aquarium in the American Tin Cannery. Ocean's 18 is perfect for private parties. Mention you heard this on Sheila's show and get a free glow stick. Ocean's 18 opens at 12, stays open late every day. Ocean's 18 Miniature Golf.
Okay, you want a website? What next? A lot of people can do the job, but you want innovation at a reasonable price. You want Dale Edward. Dale builds amazing websites with streaming video. Being a pro photographer ensures high-quality content. Websites, wedding, and special events photography, all at a reasonable price. Go to DaleEdward.com or call 277-9847. That's 277-9847.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. We're taking a look at the media's week performance last week with Eric Bollert from Media Matters. Yeah, he's our media man. Eric, the other thing I wanted to touch on related to last week was the coverage, first of all, of the Fox News joint appearance. I can't call it a debate because it was just Q&A from anchors, and they were mainly focused on trying to establish that Fox is the keeper of the conservative flame in this country, and that anybody who wants to be the Republican nominee has to toe the line as enunciated by Fox News. But we've all seen the excerpts of the inartful comments that Ron Paul made. Inartful in that I understood what he was trying to express, and I don't think he did it very well. And he presented a huge target that Rudy Giuliani found irresistible. Now, that episode has now been reduced to the soundbite of Rudy's indignation. And I was floored by the way Chris Matthews and Chuck Todd replayed that on MSNBC the next night with the repeated phrase, Giuliani owns 9/11. Now, right. Last week we saw detailed reporting on what exactly Rudy Giuliani has done since 9/11. He's now worth $100 million, and most of that is cashing in on 9/11. And if he actually owns it, he probably ought to share some of the profits with the widows and other people who lost loved ones in the World Trade Center attacks. But talk about the way Matthews and this new guy, Chuck Todd, just piled on. They blew right past the underlying issues that Ron Paul raised, again, not perfectly, and just used it as a way to, put a halo around Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah, I mean, these debates, as you say, they're not debates. And if anything has changed, gets changed in the 208 campaign, hopefully it is we can bury the so-called debates. I mean, they're just sort of ridiculous, and you have no actual exchange of any kind. It's sort of political journalism as theater criticism. That's essentially what they were doing following the debate, you know, who got off the best line, who looked the best, et cetera.
Well, they allow Tom Tancredo to cross the line into fantasy and suggest that Jack Bauer can help us out of the next terrorist attack.
Yeah, I know. They're sort of silly. But the Giuliani thing, as you mentioned, was very interesting in that he had sort of a rough week before that, and the consensus was of the first debate he was sort of, threw up inadvertently, and then he sort of hits it, and everyone sort of cheers. I think Giuliani.
Oh, yeah.
Eric
Alterman has a great piece in a recent issue of The Nation, and it's something about the crushes of Chris Matthews.
Right, I know. He loves, he loves McCain, and he loves Rudy Giuliani. But, I mean, as you say, the substance of this exchange from the debate was almost meaningless, and it certainly, Rudy certainly wasn't challenging, anything that was controversial. You know, Paul said this, as you said, sort of inartfully, and it came out worse than he sounded, and he sounds all indignant. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why these debates are sort of a waste of time.
I mean,
they don't really say anything. The other part about the Fox News angle, the Democrats announced their debate schedule, and Fox will not be a part of it, and there's this ongoing controversy that, the Democrats are not going to have a debate hosted by Fox, and there's sort of an apples and oranges thing going on. And the press, Howard Kurtz and others saying they don't understand why Democrats won't debate on a Fox show. Look at those questions that they ask Republicans. They were fair. They would get Democrats would get a fair shot at a Fox debate. That's not what the question is about. The question isn't that the Fox, Britt Hume will ask nasty questions. The question, the point is Democrats don't want to legitimize Fox News by having, let them hold this banner of holding political debates and
mm-hmm.
giving them the auspice of this.
Mm-hmm.
As Democrats consider Fox News to be essentially a propaganda outlet for the Republican Party, that's why they're not going to play ball with Fox News. Not because they're scared about they're going to get tough questions.
Yeah, I appreciate the intention of it, and I have mixed feelings because, on the one hand, you don't want to support Murdoch and Roger Ailes and the dreck that they put on, and on the other hand, I know a lot of people who only watch Fox News, and I think Democrats need to reach those, and so it's a mixed bag there.
Right.
Dave in Eureka has a comment for us. Go ahead, Dave. You're on the air.
Well, Peter and Eric, I think there's no way that we could have an administration as corrupt, as criminal, as deceptive, as destructive as that we have, and have a free press. I think it all goes back to the same plans that they put a great deal of thought and time into it to steal elections and to control the media. And I think it's wonderful we have some exceptions to what I'm talking about, and this program is certainly one of them. But
we only have 30 seconds. Eric, address that. Is the press really reining itself in, or is it under some sort of control?
Well, I think, I think they were overwhelmed by the Bush White House. They came in, they announced that they considered the press just another special interest. The press is always spooked by the liberal media bias charge, and they sort of showed early on they were just going to lie down, and certainly after 9/11 and the war in Iraq. Now, after everything has unraveled,
mm-hmm.
We see some teeth. We see what the press should have been doing in 2001.
Got to stop there. Eric Bollert from MediaMatters.org.
From Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
This is Todd the Taxi Driver, and today we're going to talk about urban legends and how you can participate in one tomorrow and help create a new one. Urban legend says that in either the 70s or the 80s, American consumers took one day and didn't buy gasoline. The legend says it worked. Gas prices dropped 30 cents a gallon by the next day. Sounds really good, but unfortunately, it never happened. But just because something didn't happen in the past, and it is an urban legend, doesn't mean it's not actually a good idea, and it can't have some positive results if people do it today. I personally believe that when any group of people get together and unite behind a common cause, it's a good thing. There are no losers. So tomorrow, don't buy gas. And who knows, maybe it will make a difference. Maybe 5 years from now, there'll be the urban legend about how Americans reacted to an urban legend and really made a difference. This is Todd the Taxi Driver saying, don't let the truth or reality get in the way of changing the world.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Valero at Mid-Carmel Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. We offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota, and our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
I'm Scott Dick, the host of the Tasty Planet Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I interview great guests, including national, regional, and local personalities that make our planet so delicious. And I want your feedback. It's simple. Go to www.tastyplanet.org, complete the survey, fill out a form, and you'll be automatically entered to win. That's all there is to it, and your info is safe with me. I won't use it for anything but this contest. So listen in on Saturdays from 1 to 4 p.m. And as Julia Child used to say, bon appétit!
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
So it's not about a stain on a dress or a BJ under the desk. We're talking about lying under oath. All right, we can start with the Attorney General. What do you say? Help frame the torture policy.
and his White House counsel. He developed the NSA spying program and went to Ashcroft's hospital bed trying to get him to sign off on it. It was clearly illegal. As we have discussed on this program, impeachment is not something to be taken lightly. Likewise, it is not something that is optional or, you know, just something that is used purely for political purposes. Certainly, it has been used politically, and it can be described accurately as a political act. But I believe that it's long overdue to initiate impeachment processes against Alberto Gonzalez. And as you know, I have long supported the same remedy for Cheney and then Bush. We'll get to that a little bit later. Joining us now is James H. Dean. Jim Dean is chair of DFA, Democracy for America. His brother Howard Dean, of course, is chair of the Democratic National Committee. And Jim Dean works together with Howard. They started the process of trying to strengthen grassroots candidates, recruiting fiscally responsible and socially progressive candidates to all levels of government. Jim Dean, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Hey, Peter, thanks for having me on. By the way, just for the record, actually, Howard and I do not work together anymore, and we don't do any coordination at all with the Democratic National Committee, although nonetheless we are like-minded in many respects. So I just wanted to stick that little legal disclaimer in before we get going. But again, I appreciate you having me on.
Happy to have the clarification, and perhaps I wasn't explicit there, but I think you're working in parallel directions on common goals.
That's correct.
Okay. And you maintain enough separation for deniability when it's necessary.
They're one kind of a legal entity and we're another, so we don't coordinate with each other.
Understood. So what is your comment? Where do you think the Democrats should go? We have in both houses now the talk of a no-confidence vote, and Arlen Specter, who's been wrong before in predictions like this, was whispering to the TV news shows yesterday that he thinks that'll be enough to nudge Alberto out of the chair.
Well, you know, that's what I thought. I think the no-confidence vote is fine, but it's very clear from the president's statements that he's not going to go away quietly. And I think at this point, you know, you lie to Congress, that's an impeachable offense. And I understand that many elected officials know, as I do, that the voters want us to govern and get stuff done. But, you know, the real problem in this thing is the executive branch and their lack of any integrity at all. And, you know, I just... The statements, the you know, you can lawyer your way through this all you want, but as far as I'm concerned, the guy lied to Congress and he's got to go.
Well, I agree, Jim, and I do understand the political implications of an impeachment process.
Yeah.
And I understand why some pragmatic Democrats say, oh, gosh, do we have to? And I say, yes, you do, because irrespective of how it could be twisted and turned and spun and used against Democrats in 2008, I think we have to stand on principle here. And the principle is that we cannot tolerate people who violate their oath of office and come before the Congress under oath and either lie or dissemble or pretend that they have amnesia. This is not acceptable, and I think the Democrats need to draw this line.
Well, I agree with that. And again, I am very sensitive to the fact that the voters and the taxpayers are very frustrated about the war. They're frustrated about the fact that they're, you know, they're at risk for everything they work for because of our health care system, and they're frustrated by so many other issues. And we, I thought we just had a tremendous opportunity, and we still have that, to rectify and change some of this for the better in this country. And it's tough to undertake a process like impeachment and try to get these things done. But, you know, we're at a point where basically the guy is, you know, pretty much given the United States of America and its Constitution the single-digit salute. And I think if you're the Attorney General of the United States doing that, you know, he's got to go. And if he won't go quietly, and if he won't go after a no-confidence vote, and if the president doesn't have the integrity to fire him and put somebody else with integrity in there, then we got to take this step.
Well, and, you know, prior to the Clinton impeachment, which I do consider to be an aberration,
absolutely.
And it was, you know, certainly driven by the decade-long effort to oust Clinton from the White House at any cost, and Richard Mellon Scaife paid the tab, and, you know, the sky was the limit on that.
Yeah.
So putting that aside, I came of age, Jim Dean, during the Watergate period when Nixon was president. And I believe that once you initiate the process and conduct the investigations, often the final step is not necessary because a guy like Gonzalez will ultimately see that handwriting on the wall and step down. But without confronting the administration, we are permitting the Republicans to intimidate the Democrats, to continue to get away with what is clear lawbreaking. An intentional lawbreaking. This is not, you know, oh, they got caught filling out the form wrong, or, you know, some lower level person went in the wrong direction. This happened at the very highest levels. And to turn a blind eye or to fail to enforce the Constitution using the remedy provided by the framers, I think is just wrong.
Well, yeah, and part of this is, of course, colored by, you know, the president's own ethical challenges. I mean, this is a guy that loves to talk about bipartisanship and working things out, and then is just unbelievably insulting and disrespectful to anybody who disagrees with him. I mean, what he said about President Carter was a disgrace. What he's saying about Gonzalez having done nothing wrong really cries out for this. You know, if we had a president who was really willing to look into this and work with the Congress on it, we wouldn't have this discussion right now. But we've got a president who doesn't get it, and that just makes this issue more and more important. And, you know, you've said usually you go through the process and the last step doesn't have to be taken. I don't know if that's true with this guy because he just is so blind to issues of integrity. You know, if you agree with him, you're honest and then have integrity, and if you disagree with him, you don't. I mean, he's just mentally not capable, I think, of really processing this thing and understanding that, you know, firing Gonzalez right now is the right thing to do and putting this behind us is the right thing to do. So I think that's a good reason to take this step. You know, it's funny you mentioned that Watergate thing. I was thinking about that because I had a night job during that summer of 73 and watched all those hearings. And, you know, you saw Mitchell and you heard about Chuck Colson saying he'd walk over his grandmother for Nixon.
Yeah.
I wonder what would have happened if Gonzalez had just simply told the truth, which is, I don't care about this country, I don't care about democracy, I don't care about the Constitution, I'll just do anything for President Bush. I mean, that would have been the honest answer.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, instead he's just been putting up one thing after another, and it's time for us to say enough is enough, and he's got to go. And we need somebody in there who's a real attorney general. It's a very important office, particularly at this time of national security issues that are so, so prevalent there. We need somebody in here who's got enough credibility to make this department a credible, law enforcement entity.
Well, you open the door here to just a little bit of Watergate nostalgia, and I'm gonna just plow right through there, Jim. I had a night job too.
Yeah,
I was doing an all-night talk show in Chicago. And the morning papers came out about 11 p.m. or midnight, and we'd grab them and go on the air and talk about what people would read over the breakfast table the next morning. And people thought I was brilliant and had incredible sources. And I remember vividly the night that Nixon resigned. It was August 8th.
Yep.
And I went out on the streets with a tape recorder and got reaction to that. It was just stunning. But here's a little something from the Peter B. Collins tax-deductible music archives to take you back. When Martha Mitchell was a hero like John Ashcroft became last week.
Yep.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. At our convention, Miami and L.A. A campaign across the USA. Let me make this perfectly clear. Let me stick it in your ear. They said, hey, babe, make a date with the Watergate. My fellow Americans, I said, hey, honey, make a date with the Watergate. And Martha Mitchell says, re-election committee,
never, ever give it away. Everybody has to pay and pay. Let me make this perfectly clear. It can't be denied. My fellow Americans, I've got nothing to hide. Say, ain't it great? I said, hey, Sparrow, make a date with the Watergate. I said, hey, Joe.
Last week, but gosh, there's so much that this administration has been able to withhold from the American people and from any kind of congressional oversight. And what really steams me when we take a look at holding these people accountable is that the Democrats are intimidated by the way that the Republicans frame this. And we end up being the provocateurs, and we have been provoked repeatedly by an administration that will not honor the Constitution, will not respect the public and the press.
Well, I go back to some of the president's recent statements on, how Gonzalez has done nothing wrong and we're going to keep him on, the disrespectfulness that he showed to former President Carter. And especially the way he framed the issue about the bill in the Senate for the Iraqi war timetable, about how these people in Congress weren't protecting the troops, which was just really awful.
And now he's ready to veto a bill over a 0.5% increase, $15 a week for the average grunt on the ground in Iraq.
Right, but more importantly, the way he approaches this thing just makes things even more divisive and much more worse than they have to be. This is a very difficult situation, and if he left office tomorrow, it would still take us a long time to really work this out and get beyond Iraq and get our troops home, or maybe hopefully not that long, but certainly the residual effects are going to be very, very difficult. And this guy just approaches it as just us against them, and the more bad things he can say about the other side, the easier it will be to let him go away. And I think Congress should not cave in on this thing. I think they ought to just put it right to the president, and I think we ought to have a confrontation about it, and start, taking a stand and getting this executive branch out of here, even before the election.
And there could be political blowback, but to me the greatest benefit would draw a bright line that shows the Democrats have standards and say, when you cross that line, you, regardless of your political party, you will be held accountable up to and including removal from office.
Right. And part of that is also making sure that they get out there and start talking about what this bill that they had really was. They really did support the troops. And not only that, they were also supporting veterans whom the Bush administration has ignored. And they needed to make that point much better than they've been making it.
Mm-hmm.
And what they really also need to make the point is that what they're not going to support is a chief executive who has failed, simply because no organization, no company, and no country supports a chief executive who has failed. And that's what we've got here. And that's why we need to have a timetable to get our troops home, because we have a commander-in-chief who isn't capable of doing the job.
We're talking with Jim Dean. He's the chair of Democracy for America, on the web at DFA.org, right?
It's actually democracyforamerica.com.
There we go, democracyforamerica.com. I knew it was close to that. When we return, we're going to play the audio from a powerful new mini-film produced by Robert Greenwald. It's all about Alberto Gonzalez and the desire to impeach him. And if you'd like to comment, join us now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show.
9 a.m. to noon. Thanks for joining us. The Ed Schultz Show, where America comes to talk.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech in a free speech zone. You have the right to an attorney. You have the right to a speedy trial. Well, not if you're in Guantanamo. You have the right to privacy. No, wait. No, no, the FBI can read your mail and listen to your phone calls. America, where are your rights? Join Billy Sunshine, and we'll find them for you.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM, Sundays 3 to 5.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. I'm your humble host, Peter B. We're talking with Jim Dean from DFA, Democracy for America. And they're joining forces with others calling for the impeachment of Alberto Gonzalez as Attorney General if this no-confidence vote that is working its way through Washington this week doesn't have the desired effect. And, Jim, there's a powerful video. Six different emails came to me first thing this morning. And Robert Greenwald, who we really respect for Outfoxed and for the film that he did we have Uncovered, Outfoxed, Walmart, Iraq for Sale.
Yep.
He's just been doing great work bringing the truth out.
Yeah.
And this is a brief video, under 2 minutes, that juxtaposes commentary, the amnesia of Alberto Gonzalez under oath, and the continuing statements of confidence by the president. Let's listen to this.
The Attorney General went up and gave a very candid assessment.
Was not involved in seeing any memos. Was not involved in any discussions about what was going on.
False.
Candid assessment.
When I said on March 13th that I wasn't involved, what I meant was that I was not involved in the deliberations.
And answered every question he could possibly answer.
I don't recall specifically.
Every question.
I don't recall the content.
Honestly answered.
I don't recall remembering.
Obstruction
every
of justice
question
on the screen.
My memory.
Some senators didn't like his explanation, but he answered as honestly as he could.
I don't think you're going to win a debate.
Mr. Attorney General, most of this is a stretch.
Why the fact that you had so little to do with the decisions and made so little effort to understand?
I had everything to do with the decision. It was my decision.
Some senators didn't like his explanation.
You don't recall the November 27th meeting where you made the decision.
Sir, I don't know that a decision was made at that meeting.
Well, how can you be sure you made the decision?
Senator, I recall making the decision for Miss. I recall making the decision.
When?
Sir, I don't recall when the decision was made.
Perjury
this
on the screen.
This is an honest, honorable man in whom I have confidence.
It was handled incompetently. The communication was atrocious. And I believe the best way to put this behind us is your resignation.
False, obstruction of justice, perjury.
ImpeachGonzales.org. That's what's on the screen, and that's the audio that you just heard. Go to YouTube or go to ImpeachGonzales.org, and you can watch that and send it along to your friends. Jim Dean, this is very powerful stuff. What kind of reaction are you getting in from Washington today?
Well, we're certainly getting a lot of reaction. First, I should have said this earlier in the program. Robert Greenwald really does do great work, and I encourage anybody who's listening out there to not only view this, but also view some of his other work, particularly Iraq for Sale, which we had about 400 screenings of around the country in our community, and certainly Al Fox is a classic. So this is a person that we're very, very fortunate to have been able to partner with on this and some other projects, and thank God he's doing this work. It's really, really important. So far, we're up to I think it's about 25,000 some odd signatures that we're going to be sorting and sending to the various congressional representatives of each signator. And this is going to keep going. That number will be much larger, but we're going to keep putting the pressure on Congress to get them to do the right thing, which is pass this no-confidence vote, and then, if there's no reaction from the White House, to start instituting impeachment proceedings to let the American people and the White House know that we're really serious about having integrity in government.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a call. Jake joins us from Arcata. Hello, Jake. You're on the air with Jim Dean.
Hey, Peter B. Hey, Jim. Hey, I think this is a great idea. I mean, absolutely impeach Alberto Gonzalez. First of all, this guy was a political hack. He never should have been allowed to become attorney general in the first place. He wasn't even qualified. And this guy's committing perjury in front of Congress. He's authorizing, you know, torture. He's, going to John Ashcroft's hospital bed while the guy's medicated, trying to get him to authorize illegal domestic spying on American citizens. You know, I think the Democrats should flat out say, you got 48 hours, Gonzalez, and if you don't get out of office, we're impeaching you.
Well, they're certainly throwing some ultimatums out there. I know they've just sent something to the White House saying this is your last chance to come up with the stuff, the evidence and the emails and everything that they've requested from them, which the White House has not been forthcoming because apparently they are only willing to have somebody talk to Congress if they don't have to do it under oath. A very interesting take on the sort of moral values administration that we've got here. It's really it's been interesting in these hearings. And Jake, the reason I want to bring this part up is a lot of what we do when we get people elected to office has an effect. And one of the people that's been really good in these hearings is a guy, a freshman senator named Sheldon Whitehouse,
right,
from Rhode Island, who was an attorney general and who was also a U.S. attorney, and has been able to go into the very topic that you mentioned, Jake, which is the qualifications of not just the attorney general, but some of the people on his staff. And that, I think, you know, like particularly Kyle Sampson, and he has been very, very effective in that testimony. So it just goes to show that when we come up with these opportunities to get people elected, such as Charlie Brown of California, which maybe coming up in a special election, I think. we have those opportunities. Let's take full advantage and get engaged. But
all right.
I agree with you entirely, and let's just, you know, try to be active in this thing and put the pressure on the Congress.
Thanks for your call, Jake. Just quickly, Jim, where are you on impeachment of Cheney and Bush, the Kucinich bill, to start with, on Cheney?
Well, we haven't taken a public position on this yet. We have a community of 500,000 people, and we're doing a lot of stuff right now. In principle, there are reasons to go do this.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest with you, I'm still a little bit conflicted because I really do want us to get things done, like minimum wage. And I also want the Congress to put people's feet to the fire about access to health care for every American.
All right, let me sneak in one more call. Chris and Salinas, go ahead, Chris, 30 seconds.
Hi, Jim. I just wanted to ask a real quick question. In order to have secure and accessible, verifiable elections, we need to have voting integrity, and I was wondering where DFA stands on these voting machines.
And what about the Holt bill in particular, Jim?
Yeah.
Well, we're paper ballot folks right now, and that's the messaging that we've done on that.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't taken a position yay or nay on the Holt bill.
Well, I think it's deeply flawed, and I'm with you. Hand counted paper ballots, HCPB. Jim, we're out of time, but thanks for joining us, and thanks for your efforts to impeach Gonzalez.
Okay, thanks a lot, Peter.
We'll talk to you soon. I'm okay. Peter B. Collins.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Rapp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Diabetics, listen up.
Disturbing safety questions about a popular diabetes drug.
It has profound public health importance.
I'm Barry Bagnato in Washington.
Even with record gasoline prices,
a federal forecast, the demand for energy will remain high. I'm Dan Raviv. I'll have that story.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The Food and Drug Administration has issued a safety alert advising diabetics taking Avandia to talk to their doctors about new research that raises serious concerns.
It's the biggest selling diabetes drug in the world, a $3 billion a year product for GlaxoSmithKline. And it puts your heart at risk, said the disturbing Cleveland Clinic analysis of the company's own studies.
Avandia appeared to increase the risk of heart attack by 43%. And the risk of cardiovascular death by 64%.
Dr. Stephen Nissen headed this New England Journal of Medicine study.
This is important because the leading cause of death in diabetes is heart disease.
Avandia's maker disputes the findings and insists the drug is safe. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
The FDA stops short of ordering a stronger warning label. Dr. Robert Meyer in the Office of Drug Evaluation says that while this research raises a red flag, there's conflicting information.
We are also pointing out that we have other data from large, long studies that have not shown such a risk. So we believe the signal is inconsistent, but important to sort out.
Tomorrow, the FDA is expected to approve Librel, a new contraceptive pill that allows women to shut down their menstrual cycles indefinitely. Now this.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
I need directions. I'm going to Scotch Lane in New Jersey.
Introducing OnStar turn-by-turn navigation. Just press the OnStar button and tell the advisor your destination. The route will be sent to your vehicle, and an automated voice will guide you through every turn.
I'm very excited by this new turn-by-turn feature. It's like having somebody who knows exactly where they live sitting next to me.
Isn't that the coolest thing ever?
Absolutely.
No need to print out driving directions or hassle with a portable GPS device.
Your turn-by-turn navigation will begin.
Can I tell you something? I know how to get there. I just want to use the service.
I don't blame you. Thank you for using OnStar.
Turn-by-turn navigation is the simplest and smartest navigation system, and it's available on many new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles. To learn more, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar by GM.
Start out going north on Route 10.
Requires ABS and directions and connections plan. Not available in certain areas.
At the gas pump, it costs more than ever to fill up, with the national average at $3.22 a gallon, but we haven't lost our appetite for energy.
I'm Dan Raviv. Looking ahead to the year 2030, the head of the government's Energy Information Administration says we'll be using 30% more energy, still mainly oil. The world will use 57% more. Guy Caruso says only one thing would stop demand. We wouldn't like it, an economic slowdown.
That would then put downward pressure on prices.
Caruso does say the price of gasoline will likely go down this summer, though still we have
significant amount of refineries offline.
Gasoline now is being bought from other countries, so supply should increase. Dan Raviv, CBS News, Washington.
The immigration compromise is on the table and the knives are out. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
As the Senate opened debate on the complex immigration proposal negotiated by a dozen senators in the White House, it drew fire from all sides. Senate Democratic leader Harry Reid has problems with the guest worker program, but still thinks this bill is the place to start.
If we put rhetoric aside, we have the opportunity to pass a law that treats people fairly and strengthens our economy.
But opponents to legal status for illegal immigrants already here were firing the rhetoric up. Republican Senator Jim Bunning.
This bill will grant amnesty to millions of illegal immigrants all over this country.
Democrats and Republicans are already lining up with amendments to try to change the proposal. Bob, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Two important developments in presidential politics. In Los Angeles, New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson formally launched his campaign for the Democratic nomination.
We have many fences to mend, and I'm ready to get started.
In Florida, Governor Charlie Crist signed the bill making his state a player in the primaries. It moves Florida's vote to January 29th. In Lebanon, for a second day, the army fired on a Palestinian refugee camp in Tripoli, where a militant group linked to Al-Qaeda has stockpiled an arsenal of weapons. Dozens of people have been killed since this battle began, and late today, a car bombing in Beirut left one person dead, several wounded. President Bush supports Lebanon's fledgling government. He says, "We abhor the violence, but the extremists need to be reined in." You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
For TomTom Radio, this is Slick Talking Radio Guy.
Let's say you've just purchased a new TomTom. First of all, congratulations. Chances are you smell great and people like you. Now, pretend you're driving down the road when you hear this.
Turn right on Elm Street.
Sweet marmalade! You think to yourself, this can't be. It's just too easy. And you're right, because any box that sits above your dash and reads you directions with spoken street names is just that. Easy!
Astoundingly easy. That's TomTom, the number 1-1 GPSS in the world. The Joneses like things fast. They use Zantac. It's fast. Like last night after dinner.
Heartburn? Painful.
Zantac.
Thank you.
And then later.
Better? Completely. Zantac's fast.
The Joneses know Zantac quickly relieves the toughest heartburn. And more. Like before the Joneses family barbecue.
Ribs?
Heartburn.
Zantac.
Hurt?
Prevents.
Amazing.
Zantac's fast.
Zantac before a meal prevents heartburn. Zantac after a meal quickly stops heartburn. Maximum strength Zantac. It's
fast.
Use as directed. Controls heartburn in 30 to 60 minutes.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up later this hour, the chair of California Assembly Budget Committee. His name is John Laird. We're going to talk about the new Schwarzenegger budget, which spends more on prisons than operating our colleges and universities in California. Over the weekend, more violence broke out in the Middle East, this time centered in Tripoli, the northernmost city in Lebanon, and it is quite an altercation that continues today. This just in from the Associated Press. Lebanese troops blasted a Palestinian refugee camp with artillery and tank fire again Monday today, seeking to destroy a militant group with Al-Qaeda ties. That is something we'll discuss. The barrage smashed buildings sent plumes of black smoke towering over the crowded camp on the Mediterranean. This fierce two-day battle has killed nearly 50 combatants and an unknown number of civilians, raising fears that Lebanon's worst internal violence since 1975 to 1990 civil war could spread. In a country with an uneasy balancing act among various sects and factions and a central government that is barely clinging to power, that's my comment added. Refugees in the Nahr el-Barad camp on the outskirts of the northern port city of Tripoli hid in their homes as fighting raged. Palestinian officials in the camp said 9 civilians were killed on Monday. Reports could not be confirmed because officials and reporters can't get inside. There are many wounded. We're under siege. There's a shortage of bread, medicine, electricity. There are children under the rubble of damaged buildings, according to a resident of the camp quoted on Al Jazeera television by cell phone. All day, automatic gunfire and explosions rocked the camp, which is more like a small town with more than 31,000 people living in two- and three-story white buildings on densely packed narrow streets alongside mosques, schools, and businesses. Hundreds of Lebanese troops surrounded Nahr el-Barad, staying outside in accordance with a nearly 40-year-old agreement with the Palestinians. And the army is seeking to uproot a militant group called Fatah Islam, which arose in the camp late last year. And then the AP again mentions many view it as a nascent branch of an al-Qaeda-style terrorism. But that's not necessarily al-Qaeda. For commentary, we turn to Professor John Quigley. He teaches international law at Ohio State University, and he's author of the book The Case for Palestine, An International Law Perspective. Professor Quigley, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Thank you.
Nice to talk with you again. First, your comment on Fatah Islam. Is this group, in fact, an ally of al-Qaeda, or is this sloppy reporting in the American press?
Well, I think it's unclear. I don't think that there is strong evidence of connection. On the other hand, the way that some of the groups operate in the region, they don't necessarily have connection. So it could be something that has some vague sort of connection. It could be inspired by that style of activity. But at this point, I think it really is not clear.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, there are many factions in Lebanon. On a recent program, Dar Jamail took about 10 minutes to walk our listeners through the range of interest groups, ethnicities, religions vying for power in Lebanon today. And so one might speculate, and again, I'm not there and I don't know if there are direct connections to al-Qaeda, but at minimum, has not the United States and its ally Israel unified those arrayed in opposition against us?
I think so. I think the war of last summer that the United States was the cheerleader for, you might say.
Well, and the resupplier for.
And the resupplier has helped to unite groups against us, and that may well be a reason that this group got started. It apparently began forming in the latter part of 2006.
And are you concerned that Tripoli, which, while I think it did receive some aerial raids from Israel last summer, it has not been a part of the violence that we saw in the Hezbollah-Israeli conflict last year?
That's right. It's fairly far removed from that activity.
Mm-hmm. So is that a concern, or is this simply, you know, an isolated situation where the Lebanese government is trying to remove an irritant?
I think it's probably limited to this camp, and that there's not a great prospect that it's going to develop into something more general in northern Lebanon.
Mm-hmm. I'm reading on in this Associated Press story, Professor. The leader of Fatah Islam, Palestinian Shakir al-Absi, has been linked to the former head of al-Qaeda in Iraq. I'm not sure there if they're referring to... I'm not sure who they're referring to there specifically. And is accused of the 2002 assassination of a U.S. diplomat in Jordan. He moved into the camp last fall after being expelled from Syria. Are you familiar with Shakir al-Absi?
No, I'm not. I suspect that he's come in, though, and is recruiting young Palestinians. I mean, the situation in the camps is not particularly favorable, so I can understand that it would be a situation where some might well join with that, you know, kind of an outfit.
Mm-hmm. And how does this explosion fit into the U.S. foreign policy, which is supposed to remake the Middle East in a more peaceful and democratic way?
Well, it certainly doesn't help it. I mean, I think it highlights the fact that something needs to be done about the situation of the Palestinians who are refugees in Lebanon. I mean, these are people who fled there in 1948 after they were expelled from their homes in Palestine. And it's been an unstable situation ever since.
And the Palestinians often cite what they view as their right of return. And I've actually met some grandmother age individuals who are here in the United States who carry with them the keys to their homes in territories that are now controlled by Israel or Lebanon, but were the homes of Palestinian families back as far as 1948.
That's right. The older people in these camps would be people who were born in Palestine and as children or perhaps teenagers were forced out in 1948. The bulk of the people in the camps, of course, would be their children and their grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. And what is your sense about the stability of the Sanyora government in Lebanon?
Well, it's being challenged by Hezbollah, which is, I think, quite separate from this new group and not on the same page. But the Sanyora government has been having difficulty holding on to power because of the pressure from Hezbollah. So anything that creates unrest is bad news for the Sanyora government.
Mm-hmm. And in our recent report from Dar Jamail, he indicated that Hezbollah has really strengthened its network in Lebanon by being the lead agency paying for rebuilding the areas that were bombed by Israel last summer, and that, in effect, Israel's attack has strengthened the posture and the influence of Hezbollah in Lebanon.
I think that's right. They did do quite a bit of work to rebuild in the south after the war. They got into areas, you know, before anyone from the government did. And I think their position has been strengthened.
Mm-hmm. And in your view, is this something that is just going to continue, or does the U.S. have leverage or resources, diplomatic or otherwise, that could be brought to bear here?
Well, I mean, overall, what the United States should be doing is encouraging Israel to accept these people back into the territory of Israel. That's the way to deal with the situation of the Palestinian refugees. I mean, that needed to be done even apart from this latest bit of violence. And the United States is probably the only country in the world that's in a position to encourage Israel in that direction. But it has certainly not done so, and this administration in particular has indicated no willingness to deal with that. So, I mean, if you want to talk about democracy in the region, you have to talk about the rights of people who were expelled at gunpoint from their homes, and until that's done, I think the United States is going to be seen as being two-faced when it talks about democracy in the region.
Mm-hmm. Well, I share that view. I think that we are quite hypocritical in this enunciation of freedom and liberty and democracy for Iraq and neighboring countries while we continue to support highly repressive regimes and the government of Israel, which, of course, continues to maintain the occupation.
That's right. We've done nothing to pressure Israel to begin negotiations again with the Palestinians and to take a position or a set of positions that would make it possible to come to some acceptable resolution with the Palestinians.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break and return in just a moment. If you have a question or comment for Professor John Quigley, he's with us for another segment. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, this is Hal, and as you can probably tell, we're still having a little bit of problems with our automation system. We don't have the traffic report up either right now, so I don't have a traffic report, but he may be here now. Let's see.
Now let's take a look at a problem just being reported from CHP on Highway 17, northbound on the 17, just before the summit. Stalled vehicle in the right lane. Salinas southbound 101 before Somovia. It's a crash with a pickup truck and an overturned water truck blocking the right lanes. Minor injuries reported as well. In Aptos, Rio Del Mar at Highway 1, the traffic light's not working. Traffic backed up significantly there. And we'll continue this traffic report if we can. We're going to tell you that we do have a problem in Sand City, northbound one at Fremont. It is a, they're saying that there's actually several paint cans in the lanes. The paint may have spilled, so that's a dangerous situation. San Juan, Pajaro, westbound after Salinas Road, we have a solo vehicle overturned, landed on its roof in a ditch. The fire department is partially blocking the roadway. In fact, the fire department paramedic crew is on the way to the scene. They're waiting for an ambulance to arrive. Also, Santa Cruz, northbound one at Emmeline, the off-ramp shut down there 24 hours a day for road work, scheduled to the 31st of December. The support brought to you by Goodrich. Drive a Chevy, and then have it cared for by a Chevy specialist. They're at Chevy dealer, and they're down. That's by GM Goodrich.
Washington recently.
Yes, certainly that issue needed to be raised. The fact that the Congress had adopted that resolution on obviously, you know, false grounds. That is, it stated that there was a need to attack Iraq because of its threat that it posed to the United States because of its weaponry that didn't actually exist. And it does seem strange that in all of this discussion in Congress, they haven't yet repealed that. I mean, it would be a very easy thing and an obvious thing to do, and it's certainly commendable that Mr. Farr has initiated that activity.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you for your influence on that issue. Returning to the Middle East, we were talking about Lebanon in the first segment, and let's move a little south there to the occupied territories and their shared borders with Israel. There have been more than 150 rocket attacks launched at Israel from the Palestinian territories in just the past week, and it sparked an attack by Israel on Sunday, U.S. time, that struck the home of a Hamas parliament member in Gaza and killed 8 people. Clearly, the ceasefire is not holding, and we also have, sad to say, factional fighting between Palestinians, Hamas and Fatah. What's your take on this recent exchange with Israel, and do you think that this is just a tit for tat, or do you think that this has the risk of expanding?
Well, this... of course, does have the risk.
Gas prices have hit yet another record high, jumping 11 cents over the past 2 weeks to the highest level ever, says Lundberg survey publisher Trilby Lundberg.
It's not just another record. It also beats the March 1981 inflation-adjusted high.
A gallon of self-serve regular is now averaging $3.18 a gallon. As gas prices continue, there is...
more smoothly in Gaza, if life could go on fairly well, I think you wouldn't see this kind of contention between Hamas and Fatah. That said, I think they should make every effort to stop it. It certainly doesn't help anything that they're at each other's throats.
Indeed. And Israel did release some of the tax money that it collects for Palestinians, and it had arbitrarily been withholding, did it not?
There has been some release, and that is a positive step. I mean, more needs to be done along those lines.
Mm-hmm. Do you think ultimately, I mean, one of the currencies there, unfortunately, in at least in recent history, has been the exchange of prisoners, and Israel has still not recovered the Lebanese, the prisoners that were taken in Lebanon near that farm on the border last summer. And there's still an Israeli soldier who was taken by Hamas prior to the conflict with Hezbollah. Do you think ultimately that those exchanges could be critical to some sort of new ceasefire?
Yeah, that's something that I think would help and might calm things down at least for a time. and that has been something, as you indicate, that has been done in the past. And it's rather unfortunate aspect of the whole thing that the different elements see capturing somebody as a way of dealing with prior captors. But Israel is holding a huge number of Palestinians, so it's not unexpected that on the other side they would want to capture a few Israelis and say, okay, let's do an exchange. One of the interesting things about this report that was recently published in Israel, the Vinograd Commission report that was so critical of Mr. Olmert.
Olmert, right.
Apparently, as a result of that publication, Mr. Olmert has indicated that he understood when he invaded Lebanon in the summer of 2006 that this would not get the two soldiers back, even though at the time he said that was the major reason for conducting a war in Lebanon.
And the polls show Olmert is less popular, or maybe just about as popular as Dick Cheney is in this country, single digits. Is his response to the rocket attacks from Palestine compounded by his very weak grip on power?
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
It's getting ugly already. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Senator John McCain, who favors the latest immigration compromise, got so angry when fellow Republican John Cornyn said the bill was too weak that he was overheard using a crude term referencing chickens, which probably would have gotten him fired from his talk show if he had one. Why is it so ugly? Because there's a divide here that crosses party lines, and it's this. The voters who put politician in office generally hate amnesty, while the business interests who finance the campaigns generally hate losing their workforce. And it's not about low wages anymore. The problem is that even a web-surfing, laser-guided society like ours needs manual labor. And very few legal Americans who go to magnet schools and take high-stakes exams are hearing their parents tell them, "Someday, my child, you will pick strawberries faster than your grandfather." Or, "Someday, you'll be the best roofer in three counties." Or, "Someday, you'll be the fastest, most reliable finisher of interior trim this nation has ever seen." Americans want to sweat on weekends, not weekdays. So, yes, rest assured, amnesty's not going to happen because Democrat Nancy Pelosi doesn't want it.
No one is for amnesty, and there's nothing in this bill.
And Republican Mitch McConnell sure doesn't want it.
Everybody's against amnesty. There are a lot of different versions.
Which is why the final bill will prohibit amnesty by including pages and pages of non-amnesty to make sure that non-amnestified workers will feel ashamed for even thinking about amnesty as they continue working just as they have all these years.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging. And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam, firewalls, and web filters. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now and ask for your free trial. Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use. That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewall. Try a Barracuda firewall for free. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
Tomorrow Matters, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, will be moving from Sundays to a daily spot Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll still be bringing in the guests, and you'll still be calling in with your questions and ideas, and we'll still be working collectively to set the standards for a more sustainable future. But we'll be doing it 5 times a week. Starting May 14th, join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
From the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
I want to thank State Treasurer John Chung. I got my tax refund back last week, and I'm rich. For about another 22 minutes. We're going to take a look at the state of California's proposed budget for this year. And the man who knows the numbers and crunches them better than anybody else is the chair of the Assembly Budget Committee. He also represents Santa Cruz and Monterey in the state assembly. He is John Laird. John, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Great to talk with you again, sir. How's it going there in Sacramento?
Well, we're right at the crunch time on the budget, but it's going pretty well. And, you know, they have the old saw that we can't approve a budget until it's been 100 degrees for 2 or 3 days in a row, and it's starting to heat up, so I'm feeling like it's the season.
Somehow this year, I imagine the media is going to try to link it to the wayward whales in the Delta.
Well, there's so many places to go with that.
I don't know how to read it.
Going down the drain, it's like, you know.
Yeah. Hey, before we get into the budget stuff, I want to just commend you because a bill that you wrote, which is the Civil Rights Act of 2007, was passed in the Assembly just today, 46-29. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's I've been working my way through the Civil Rights Code over 4 years to take the maximum level of protection and standardize the existing laws in housing, employment, public accommodations, and business practices, and this is the latest iteration, and I'm really pleased it sailed to the Senate today comfortably.
Give us a couple of examples of what this could protect people from, the kinds of discrimination that remain in California.
Well, there are all kinds if you go to certain doctors and in the public realm, or if you go into certain businesses and attempt to patronize them. This just basically says to the extent there's a level of non-discrimination, it needs to be broad and include race and gender, disability, sexual orientation. And the thing is that many of the California laws are old, and they might not have a category or two, and in some cases even race, it says ethnic heritage. And as a result, even though there generally is a protection in California law because of some superseding policies or laws, it's really unclear to anybody that's trying to obey the law. And so this is a way of being so clear that we don't discriminate if you go into a doctor's office or you get services from a nonprofit or you go to a hotel, that there's no ambiguity.
Mm-hmm. Great. And what kind of prospect does it face in the Senate? And ultimately, will the governor sign it, in your opinion?
I'm optimistic in both places because the governor has actually signed the last three and the Senate has passed them, although since the last election, the Senate and the Assembly have changed slightly. I think the Assembly is becoming a little more progressive and the Senate a little more moderate. But I think on this bill, we'll still do fine. And the governor actually has signed all three of these. And I know that he had real concern about the UNRU Act bill the year before last that really, you know, for the first time in the 40 years of that act, extended categories in public accommodations, and he signed that bill, and that was a tough one. So
mm-hmm.
I'm optimistic that he will sign this.
John Laird is with us. He's chair of the Assembly Budget Committee, and they've been working hard to process what they call the May revise. And, of course, first what happens is there's a revision on the revenue side based on how much money we actually coughed up on April 15th. And, John Laird, this year the Google millionaires and a couple of Google billionaires, I guess they didn't diversify their portfolios as much as they did the year before.
Well, they didn't, although the legislative analyst had projected we were going to be down a couple of billion dollars from the governor's estimates in January, and we came back to within $250 million on the revenue side. So while it wasn't like last year where there were individual checks of $100 million from individual taxpayers, that didn't happen as much, but at least we're holding our own.
Mm-hmm.
But it, given the fact that we entered the year with a deficit, it still presents us with a problem.
Well, and it's better to have diversified revenue sources instead of hoping for a windfall from some really lucky but a handful of people.
And we still don't have diversified sources. We have, as you said, a better year this year. But, you know, over 80% of the general fund in the state comes from just sales tax and personal income tax, and it fluctuates wildly with the economy. And so it's bound to tank when the economy just goes into recession, and then it points at the 30% of the budget that isn't protected by initiative, and that's higher education, health services, a little bit of environmental protection. And so until we truly diversify even the same level of revenue that we have in the budget, it's just a matter of time before we have to do things that are stupid for services and ideas like higher education and health services that
mm-hmm.
we really like.
Now, it appears that in many respects, the Democratic leadership can work with Governor Schwarzenegger on these budget issues, but some of the things that really stick out are that he insists on repaying Wall Street faster than necessary, and the victims of that are people, the blind and elderly and disabled, who rely on state SSI payments. He wants to cut that to save only $185 million, which is a drop in the bucket in a $100 billion-plus budget. And yet he insists on trying to curry favor with Wall Street by paying them back early.
That's right. And, you know, we refinanced the debt, the voters did, in 2004 statewide, but we already have $2.5 billion in this budget to pay back debt. He wanted to do a $600 million on top of it, and when you just mentioned the age blind and the disabled, or what's better known as people on Social Security, he doesn't want to do their cost of living increase. And if they do $860 a month, and they're not getting an extra $25 on that. Just imagine trying to live on $850 or $860 a month, and you know, as it is with energy costs going up and gasoline costs going up, and you're just talking about basic food and rent. And what we're doing here is we're just giving him a $25 a month cost of living increase. He does not want to do that. And when I think the point that's very interesting is the Republicans in the legislature say, oh, this budget hasn't made enough cuts. That's their position right now. So you look at somebody that's on Social Security and surviving on the minimum amount, and it's proposed that they don't get a cost of living increase to just keep pace with inflation of $25 a month, and you got the Republicans saying, we're not cutting enough.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Well, and Schwarzenegger, I have to say that I do share one priority with him, which is rebuilding our infrastructure. I'm not sure that the bond route is the only way to finance that, but I accept that those are done deals. He doesn't want to invest similarly, though, in our human resources. The cuts to colleges and universities, coupled with additional increases in tuition and fees, make it out of reach for another chunk or two of California citizens.
That's a tough one because he wants to do, I think it's 10% increase at CSU in fees, 7% at the University of California, and he wants to cut back on the so-called academic preparation programs, formerly known as outreach, which really help retention, help sort of keep students in higher education that represent California and who California is. And he's proposing taking that out. And in each case, it's a small amount of dollars relative to the Wall Street amount.
Mm-hmm. And we also know now, and the San Francisco Chronicle, both in its front page news story today and in a very strong editorial, point out that we are going to be spending more on prison operations in the coming fiscal year than we are on the higher education system when you exclude certain loan programs.
That's right. And I have to say, and that's been the Chronicle article also pointed out, that that's a real change over time. That if you just looked at 6 years ago, it was billions of dollars apart between the two. And I think the hard thing there is that we are operating right now under the California revenue system under a fixed pie. Given a two-thirds requirement to raise revenues and a lack of Republican desire to do that in any way, we will, for the foreseeable future, unless the voters act, just have the same amount of revenue from our existing system. And the other thing is that the voters have approved three strikes. I mean, I really supported the reform that almost passed.
Yep, me too.
In 2004. And three strikes is a de facto minimum amount of money for the prison system. It takes it out of hands of elected officials, and it's only if the voters themselves wish to adjust that we're truly going to deal with some prison costs, because if we're going to have people in prison, what the federal courts are saying is they need satisfactory health treatment because they are a captive audience and they cannot maintain their own health care, and it's cruel and unusual punishment for them to have untreated health problems when they're incarcerated, and that the state failing to deal with the fact that people are triple bunked in libraries and gyms and other places around the state is cruel and inhuman, and they have been on the verge of court ordering money out of the state budget to run the prison system, and that is the other half of the equation. And
well,
so,
and I'll bet you dread the call from Bob Sillin. He's the court-appointed receiver for the health care system in the prisons, and he essentially has the authority to call you up and say, I need another half a billion, and if you don't give it to us, there's a judge who's going to order you to give it to us.
Yeah, I mean, our euphemism is, you know, trying to keep the truck from being backed up to the Treasury and just cart pieces of it away. And so we have been very careful to try to make sure that there's enough money in the budget to meet whatever the court thinks needs to be done, mm-hmm. while at the same time not setting aside extra hundreds of millions of dollars, because you have to cut exactly the things we've been talking about earlier in this conversation to provide the margin to hold that money. And if it's unused and you're like kicking people out of nursing homes or wheelchairs or not giving them the cost of living increase on Social Security, that's inhuman for just holding money for no purpose. So we're trying to stay just ahead of where the court wishes to go with that.
We'll come back to prisons. I want to go into some more detail in the next segment, John Laird, but I also wanted to ask about the governor's proposals to sell some assets. Now, we've seen in Indiana they sold the toll road. Other states have sold their lotteries. And I'm very concerned about this trend of selling assets that were built or, you know, are owned by the taxpayers for a one-time benefit, and then, you know, we will pay and pay and pay to the corporate owners in the future. So he's proposing an exploration of selling the lottery, and he has firmly proposed to sell the Ed Fund to generate about $1 billion in a one-time payment.
I agree with your analysis, and the thing about it is it sounds like it's such easy money that you sell an asset, it's a one-time thing. I mean, the lottery numbers range from $18 to $36 billion as what you could get in a lump sum payment. And when we're sitting here in a deficit that might be roughly $3 billion for the budget year and $5 billion for the next, if we were going to do this, and there's so many questions about this. I mean, California's lottery gets $80 per capita every year. Other states make as much as $300. So California's lottery has a different role than other states. There's a question about schools, because right now the lottery is dedicated to schools. Do you hold harmless what schools get now and put the rest into the general fund, which automatically guides 40% of the new money to schools under Prop 98? Do you hold it for schools? Do you do a lump sum? Do you decide that, you know, you don't want to do this, or you want to say, we're really going to turn this into some annual money every year that's revenue to the state budget, and in fact, we're not going to do a lump sum. What if there's hyperinflation like there was in the 70s and we make some deal that gives away the store and has no ability for the state to recover unforeseen benefits? So there's a lot of unanswered questions about this.
Yeah, we need to take a break. We'll return in just a moment. John Laird is our guest. He chairs the Assembly Budget Committee. And I want to go into a little more depth about the financing of the prisons and this huge capital budget that was approved in about 20 minutes by the legislature just a month or so ago. That's straight ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Giant step and retry the vampire.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're rolling on here. Coming up right after the top of the hour, we're going to talk about gas prices. They keep going up. Tyson Slocum from Public Citizen will be with us. We continue now reviewing California's proposed budget for the upcoming fiscal year, and the expert on that is Budget Chair of the Assembly, John Laird, Democrat from Santa Cruz. And, John, this is obviously a very complicated area. The problems with the prisons did not start when Governor Schwarzenegger arrived in Sacramento. But you pointed out that the three strikes repeal or the modification that was killed on the ballot just a few years back has produced some of the problems and limitations that we're facing right now. And I just think it's important to remind people that there's one guy who helped kill that, and his name is Schwarzenegger. He went on TV just 15 days out from the election on a ballot measure that was trending up, I think, by 12 or 15 points. And by the time he got finished demagoguing it, and I believe explicitly that the language he used in the TV commercials was intentionally inaccurate, that is also called a lie. And based on that, the voters did a big about-face and defeated that measure because he said 26,000 felons would be released on the streets of California, and that was flatly untrue. So now we have a situation where the court, the federal court, Judge Carlton, has put the health care system into receivership. He may do that with the entire system. And so they cobbled together very quickly this $7-plus billion capital package to not build new prisons, but to create more prison beds, about 25,000, over the next 5 years. And that baby was rushed through so fast, and presumably it was to prevent the very powerful prison guards union from throwing up a smokescreen or other obstacles to it. But are you comfortable with the way that package was jammed through, and is it fiscally prudent?
There's lots of answers to that, pieces to that question. But first, I didn't like parts of the package, which I think is true of almost everybody that voted on it. And everybody got something they wanted. I mean, the Republicans didn't want people to have early release, and they didn't want to revise sentencing laws. The Democrats wanted rehabilitation and lowering the recidivism rate, and we wanted no new prisons. And so in the end, it's infill on prisons. There's a major rehabilitation piece and assessment of prisoners that go in. And I think there might still be a review of sentencing laws, but it'll be separate and not part of that package, so the Republicans didn't have to vote against the package for that reason.
Well, I share your hope there, but by stripping out the $450,000 to pay for a sentencing commission review, that effectively kills it for this term.
We can come back and figure out how to do it potentially another way, and I think we're going to try. You're exactly right, because regardless of whether it was or wasn't part of this package, or it's strategic with the money or other, the bottom line issue is that it's really a sentencing issue and a rehabilitation issue from the perspective of many of us that's going to change the whole way prisons work, or whether or not we have the same growth in prison population. I mean, our recidivism rate is 70% in California.
Mm-hmm.
That's unbelievable compared to other states. And other states are recognizing that rehabilitation and preparing people for the outside world, job training, doing things to keep them from coming back in, is not just probably the right thing to do from a public policy or humanitarian level, that it's also fiscally sound. So what are some of the states that are doing this? I mean, the chief one that's been doing it is South Carolina. They are not what you would call the most progressive state in the universe, but they recognize that that's what you have to do to make it work. And it's like, it's what we need to do in California. If we reduced our recidivism rate to 60% over the course of the next 5 years, we'd be closing prisons. And
right.
We'd be dealing totally differently, and we might be dealing.
You to choke a little bit, you had to appropriate almost $19 million so that the correctional officers can run TV ads to recruit more guards. And this is, on the heels of Gray Davis's sweetheart deal to the prison guards union. that jacked up their pay to an unconscionable level.
Well, there's still, interestingly enough, amazing vacancies in prison guard positions. And I just did see, I can't remember where I was driving between Sacramento and my district, a huge billboard that said how much you get paid and to call this number. And it is, interestingly, I think, changing the prison guards union position on prison growth and construction, because they're even in a position that no matter how much they get paid, the positions are vacant and they can't handle the growth. It's not a safe situation for them, and I think it's starting to change where they are on some of these issues historically.
But until we really get a grip on rational sentencing and release of their 11,000 pre-1977 lifers who are over 60 years old, not a threat to anybody, but nobody's willing to stick out their necks and say, yeah, you know, the right thing to do is selectively release some of these people, and we also need to come to grips with the cost of the CCPOA contract.
I think when you're starting to see front page stories that higher education is the same amount of spending as prisons, then you know about aging prisoners, that there will gradually be sort of a changing view on this, and we just have to have enough courage to be out there and say it clearly in a way that the public is educated. You know, while I know that we don't have much time, and I heard what you're going into in the next segment about gas prices.
10 seconds, go ahead.
And the governor's raiding transit money with the excess gas price money in this budget, too, and it really fits to what you're talking about. We need to.
John Laird, thanks for counting the money for us. We'll talk to you again soon.
My pleasure.
John Laird, Democrat from Santa Cruz.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Heart disease is a common complication of diabetes, but a new analysis finds that Avandia, the most common drug for treating diabetes, might also raise the risk of a coronary. The Food and Drug Administration has issued a safety alert advising patients to consult their doctors. But Dr. Sidney Wolf of the watchdog group Public Citizen says that's too little too late.
FDA was aware back five and a half years ago these drugs, Avandia and Actos, could cause heart failure, and I don't think they took appropriate action even back then. And now they have even more reason to warn people about the dangers of these drugs.
The FDA says there's conflicting data, and Avandia's maker, GlaxoSmithKline, says it's not seeing anything like the problems reported in the New England Journal of Medicine. What should patients do? CBS News medical correspondent Dr. John LaPook has this advice.
You've got to, for sure, check with your doctor. And under no circumstances should you just stop taking the medication. Because remember, your blood sugar can go up and there are problems with that.
Gasoline prices have never been higher. The government pegs the national average at $3.22 now. Adjusted for inflation, that's even higher than the price spike in 1981 when the Iran-Iraq war broke out. There's a ripple effect, says CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus.
When gas prices rise like this, it has a domino effect for the rest of the economy. So now you have people not going to the grocery store as often, not dining out, not going to the movies. They're cutting corners in other ways so that they can fill up their gas tank.
The Energy Department says prices should start to ease as imported gasoline arrives to help make up the shortfall at U.S. refineries. Promises to be quite a debate. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss was there as the Senate took up the immigration bill today.
The complex compromise negotiated between a dozen senators and the White House is under fire from all sides.
Democratic leader Harry Reid doesn't like the guest worker plan, but he says most of the bill is positive.
What we have now, though, is a starting point.
Not if Kentucky Republican Senator Jim Bunning has anything to say about it. He wants it stopped now.
This bill will grant amnesty to millions of illegal immigrants. Period. It's true.
Backers, including President Bush, say giving illegal immigrants legal status and letting them work towards citizenship is a vital part of any overall immigration bill. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Ruling in the case of an autistic boy from Ohio, the Supreme Court has made it easier for parents to sue school districts over their children's special ed needs.
This is good news for parents. They don't necessarily have to hire a lawyer, but it by no means guarantees that they can win their complex disability cases if and when they bring them to court.
CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen. Virginia Tech shooter Sung Hui Jo, who killed 32 people before taking his own life, was prepared to shoot many more. Investigators say they found more than 200 additional rounds of ammunition in the building where most of the killings took place. The Dow slipped 13 points today, closing at 13,542. This is CBS News.
Smokey here. When you're a hardcore biker like me, it's nice to know that Geico Motorcycle Insurance covers most kinds of bikes and has money-saving discounts. It's reassuring. It's like I have an imaginary sidecar, and my guardian angel's riding in it. And he's brought plenty of juice boxes and muffins, and he's totally cool with sharing. Yeah, old Smokey's never been too good with metaphors.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
Never miss your favorite shows with a free DVR upgrade from Dish Network. Introducing Dish DVR Advantage. The two-room DVR comes standard. Plus, get over 200 channels, free standard professional installation, and 3 free months of HBO, Cinemax, Showtime, or Starz Movie Pack. All for just $39.99 a month for 10 months. Call 1-888-499-DISH today. Offer ends 5/31/07. Subject to change without notice. Requires $49.99 activation fee, 18-month commitment, and credit card auto pay with online billing. 10-month discount requires mail-in redemption. Restrictions apply, including early cancellation fee.
In California, the state of his birth, New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson today formally launched his campaign for the Democratic presidential nomination.
In making his announcement, Bill Richardson said he is ready to bring America together. He talked about his experience as a congressman, a governor, and a former U.S. ambassador to the U.N.
There are a lot of candidates out there with a lot of good ideas. Some are rock stars. I am not. But I have a proven record.
On Iraq, Richardson said he supports a full withdrawal of American troops. He said diplomacy involving both America's friends and enemies is the only way to solve the problem. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
In Florida, where the 2000 presidential race was decided, they're determined to be heard earlier in the process. Governor Charlie Crist has signed the bill moving the Florida primary up to January 29th, making it one of the earliest in the nation, on a week ahead of New York and California. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
I need directions. I'm going to Scotch Lane in New Jersey.
Introducing OnStar turn-by-turn navigation. Just press the OnStar button and tell the advisor your destination. The route will be sent to your vehicle, and an automated voice will guide you through every turn.
I'm very excited by this new turn-by-turn feature. It's like having somebody who knows exactly where they live sitting next to me.
Isn't that the coolest thing ever?
Absolutely.
No need to print out driving directions or hassle with a portable GPS device.
Your turn-by-turn navigation will begin.
Can I tell you something? I know how to get there. I just want to use the service.
I don't blame you. Thank you for using OnStar.
Turn-by-turn navigation is the simplest and smartest navigation system, and it's available on many new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles. To learn more, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar by GM.
Start out going north on Route 10.
Requires ABS and directions and connections plan. Not available in certain areas.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
We're heading into the free speed zone this hour. As usual, you can call in and comment on any subject from any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. But you have to be prepared to answer a simple question. How much did you pay for your last gasoline fill-up?
Well, face, I'll never fail.
And did you take out a home equity line? From the end of darkness, and his mouth came on through me. And I saw that he'd be liquor, and he'd take us to you. Yes, oil companies to consumers. Give me your money, please. And sometime later this hour, the Reverend Billy is going to check in. Fresh back from a court appearance, and I think he's declaring victory over Starbucks in a recent skirmish. My lines are open for you right now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. You got that? So pick up that fancy cell phone and give us a call. 888-573-8372. You can also use my very personal email address. It's peter@peterbcollins.com. Tyson Slocum returns to our program today. He's the director of Public Citizens Energy Program. Tyson, how are you?
I'm great, Peter. How are you doing?
Well, if you're great, you obviously haven't filled up your tank today.
Well, luckily for me, I take the subway around here in Washington, D.C., but I wish more Americans were as lucky. That's one of the problems. We don't have adequate access to good mass transit systems.
Well, that's right. We just got finished with a review of California's budget priorities, and the governor, in order to pay back money we owe Wall Street ahead of schedule, is raiding transportation accounts, including the public transit funds. He's building highways, but not too interested in, say, buying more buses or expanding our subway systems.
Well, that's really unfortunate because, you know, consumers are dying for access to alternatives, and mass transit is definitely one solution. You know, the other thing that really gets me is, you know, here we are in the middle of record profits for the oil companies, and they keep getting huge handouts from the U.S. taxpayer.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting about $8 billion a year in tax breaks and other subsidies from us, the taxpayer. At the same time, they're gouging us at the price pump, at the gas pump. So clearly what we got to do, get rid of all those oil company tax breaks, shift it into subsidies and incentives for households.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, give them bigger incentive to go out and get a more fuel-efficient car, to get one of those hybrids. Bigger investment for mass transit systems. Those are the kinds of things we should be investing in, not padding the profits of big oil.
And Tyson, we're a progressive talk show, but we don't protect Democrats here. I recall that some of them campaigned last year on trying to either impose a windfall profits tax on the oil industry or at least roll back the free gifts that Tom DeLay and others rammed through in the Republican-controlled Congress just the cycle before.
Right.
Has there been any progress on that under Democratic control?
Well, yeah, in the House. As part of Nancy Pelosi's 100 Hours agenda, they put together a list of six bills, including minimum wage, and one of the six was repealing $14 billion worth of tax breaks that currently go to big oil and instead dedicate that to a renewable energy and energy efficiency fund. That bill was H.R. 6, and it passed the House of Representatives back in January, January 18th. The Senate has yet to act. So, and there have been Democrats in the Senate that have opposed it. It's a very you know, close Senate, so it's going to be difficult to move some of these things. But we just got to remember to hold our politicians accountable. The time for deferring to big oil is over. You know, they had energy policy dictated by Dick Cheney and big oil for the last 6 years. It's gotten us record high prices. We need to have an energy policy for the people that holds oil companies accountable.
Now, I'm looking at a webpage here of ABC News where they show that the average price of self-serve regular unleaded has now hit a record high of $3.18. That's what we were paying about 6 weeks ago. Here in California, the average, at least in the Bay Area, is $3.50 to $3.60 for regular unleaded. And it's not unheard of now to see that number four showing up for premium unleaded, even at the self-serve pumps. If you're paying somebody else to pump the gas, you're easily over $4 a gallon now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know, it'd be one thing if these high prices were, you know, going into something. You know, like in Europe, they pay much higher prices than we do. But it's all in the form of taxes, and that, you know, heavily subsidizes mass transit systems and other useful things. Here, the high prices that we're paying are just going to the pockets of big oil and their shareholders. I'll give you some statistics.
Please.
In 2006, ExxonMobil, right, which is the industry leader, $40 billion in profit last year, they spent $37 billion last year just on buying back their own stock and paying out dividends to their shareholders. Compare that $37 billion on goodies to their shareholders with the $3.3 billion they spent on capital investment here in the United States. It pales in comparison. And we ask why we have all these refinery outages and all of these problems that the oil companies say is resulting in these record high prices. It's because the industry has turned its back on its own aging infrastructure. They're not investing enough, and that is why we've got these refinery outages and other problems. It's inexcusable to have the country's most profitable industry having these basic problems keep happening. The fact is that the industry has intentionally underinvested in its infrastructure. They haven't been making the investments that will help consumers. Instead, they've been making the investments to help shareholders.
Tyson Slocum is with us. He's from Public Citizen in Washington. If you have a question or comment, you can join us right now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, Tyson, you mentioned something that I was just about to bring up, and that is the refinery aspect of this. Because now that we have, reconstructed the vertically integrated monopolies that we broke up 80 years ago, we have a situation where the oil companies control these refinery plants, and inexplicably, when the price starts to go up at the pump, you can look back and say, oh, there are refineries offline for maintenance. And we're getting kind of jaded here in California because we got jacked around by Enron and the other energy traders on our electricity in the early aughts. And it's pretty routine now because California uses reformulated gas, and it's much harder to pipe it in or truck it in from other states. And we're at the mercy of these people who, again, are extracting record profits, and that's not enough. They've got to shut down refineries in a scheme that appears intentional just to gouge us even more.
Yeah, that's right. They're taking a playbook from Enron here. I mean, that's exactly what Enron did during the California energy crisis. And if you remember, during the California energy crisis, the energy companies and Dick Cheney all said, oh, the reason that you're having the shortages, the reason you're having the high prices is your state's environmental laws. And that was all a big lie. And what are the oil companies saying now? They're saying, oh, the reason we're having these problems is complying with America's environmental laws. Again, it's nothing but a big lie. The fact is that there is a company out there that has successfully obtained all the necessary air quality permits to build a brand new refinery, and that's called Arizona Clean Fuels in Yuma, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
This is a small company, okay? If a small company can do it, why can't the world's most profitable corporation, ExxonMobil, do it? Because they have no interest in building a new refinery. A lot of these companies and their lobbyists here in D.C. run around and blame America's sensible environmental laws. That's not true. The fact is that they're not building new refineries because it's not in their financial self-interest to do it. They build a new refinery, they're going to create a surplus in capacity.
Right.
A surplus in capacity would drive prices down, and they'd make less money. I look at the financial statements of these oil companies. They're making record profits, not only at extracting oil, but at turning that crude oil into gasoline. I am all for giving someone a fair return on their investment. But when they're price gouging us, when they have us over a barrel, that's not fair competition. That's a monopoly. That's price gouging, and Congress ought to do something about it.
And what is being done about it? I mean, what we often hear is that, oh, they want to repeal the federal excise tax on gasoline, and that, of course, would be a ripple effect with cuts to mass transit and highway construction and other necessary infrastructure needs.
Yeah, that would be a terrible idea.
And at the same time, progressives will stick their necks out and say, well, let's throw a dollar a gallon tax on gasoline and use that money for tax credits for low-income Americans so that it doesn't hit them as hard as it's hitting them now. Let's redirect some of that fund into alternative energy development, including biofuels or other ways of fueling our vehicles. And yet we don't see any real consensus or any real leadership developing from our political figures.
Well, I'm going to be testifying before the House of Representatives Energy Committee tomorrow. And I'll be talking about the need to hold the oil industry accountable, to talk about enacting some price gouging statutes to limit their ability to price gouge us. I'll be talking about strengthening antitrust enforcement. I'll be talking about getting rid of all the tax breaks and subsidies that big oil gets. And I might even be advocating for windfall profits tax on the industry. I am all for having the oil industry pay its fair share to help finance our transition to a sustainable energy future. You know, right now, the federal government is running up hundreds of billions of dollars in deficits a year.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the money to fully fund mass transit. We don't have the money to give folks the financial incentives necessary to allow them to afford to buy a more energy-efficient hybrid vehicle.
And Tyson, what time is your testimony for our C-SPAN junkies?
It's at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and I don't know if it'll be on C-SPAN, but it definitely will be webcast on the House Energy Committee site at house.gov, and
mm-hmm.
you'll be able to read my testimony tomorrow on Public Citizen's website, which is citizen.org.
Great. Well, Tyson, thanks for joining us. And just one little cosmetic suggestion. Take your favorite Hugo Chavez bobblehead doll and just put it on the table when you testify. You don't have to do anything else. Just put Hugo's bobblehead on the table, okay?
All right. Thanks a lot, Peter.
Thanks for joining us. All right, we go to your calls next. Any subject, any viewpoint, and I will ask you what you paid at the pump most recently. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. Give me a call now and we'll talk.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Hey everybody, let's take a look at traffic, and we're going to tell you that we do have a problem working. Let's see, CHP, tell us about a problem right now in Salinas, southbound 101 before Boronda. It's a very large piece of metal. It is blocking the second lane from the left. Also want to take a look at yet another problem. They're reporting the Salinas Old Stage Road at Spence. It's a two-vehicle crash. It is blocking lane. CHP apparently on the way to the scene there. And let's take a look at Boulder Creek, Highway 9 at Lamond Street. It's a car and a motorhome blocking the roadway there. Also want to talk about northbound 101 at Fifth Street. That is in Gonzales. Apparently a lane is blocked there. CHP is not indicating which lane it is. It's all because of a stalled vehicle. Southbound 1 before 41st in Capitola, left lane blocked between a bus and a car. And a support brought to you by Applebee's new pick and pair lunch combos.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. We're deep in the free speech zone. I've got lines open if you'd like to comment on any subjects we've talked about today or anything we haven't. We talked with Eric Bullard from Media Matters about the weak performance of the media, and I'm still steamed at Chris Matthews saying that Rudy Giuliani owns 9/11. Jim Dean from Democracy for America, that's Howard's brother, he was with us earlier today, urging impeachment of Alberto Gonzalez. Go to impeachgonzalez.org and view that two-minute video for yourself. It's really great. We also talked with Professor John Quigley of Ohio State University about the continuing violence in the Middle East, and John Laird, the chair of the Assembly Budget Committee here in California, about the Schwarzenegger budget, which favors Wall Street over poor people and disabled folks here in California. Ed in Aptos is up first here in the Free Speech Zone. Hello, Ed.
Greetings.
It's been a while. Nice to hear from you.
Yeah. I spent a few, almost a month in China and was very educational.
Well, good. I'm glad to have you back.
I think that the, if we went to, everybody in the U.S. went to the China and saw what the filth of their atmosphere, that they'd praise our environmental laws, and I'm glad we have them.
Mm-hmm.
If you lived in that soup, I don't know what their age span is, but I sure can't help.
Yeah, you're right. No, they've got a huge pollution problem there.
And yeah, they burn so much coal. It just you're under a pall all the time, even
mm-hmm.
when the sun's out.
Yeah.
I was going to ask your last guest how much it would cost to build a refinery. I think that maybe the government ought to go into competition with these oil companies and have a refinery online that. When they say, oh, we don't have enough capacity, they just gin it up and
mm-hmm.
put the capacity out there to keep the guys, and even at that, have enough competition. There's no competition, so the only place I think we can get people with resources.
Ed, you can just imagine how the right wing would come down on that like 4 tons of bricks.
Well, I know. Well,
you don't believe in the free market? You want government to refine your gasoline? That's un-American. I mean, Mitt Romney will send you to double Gitmo for that.
That's true. But if, on the other foot, if the government had raised the taxes on the gasoline as much as we've been gouged by the oil companies, the Republicans would be squawking to high heavens as well.
Well, certainly a windfall profits tax makes a lot of sense. And, hey, let's be generous to them. Let's let them keep half of the money we would tax them if they invest in alternative fuels.
I want the people out there to remember this past election, how mysteriously the gas prices fell to an all-time, well, not to an all-time low, but to
a recent low.
A recent low, yes. Yeah. We haven't seen that in probably 5 years, the price that it dropped to, and then it mysteriously rose again.
Mm-hmm.
So we're, basically we're getting screwed, and I don't know how long it's, I think of the frog in the pot, and I think that's what the American public is, and I guess they finally realize they're getting boiled, and
mm-hmm.
Maybe coming to realization that
people are pretty passive about it. You don't see any riots at the gas stations. You don't see people protesting. I guess they just reach in and dig for another 20 and say,
in a position I can do that. But somebody on the bottom end, there's going to be some domino effect to this thing. You
all right,
take
so,
that much money out of the economy.
So
and,
I know you're fresh back.
Keep it going.
What did you pay to fill up in Aptos recently, Ed?
I know, it was about $3.40 or something.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
I was in San Jose, and it was $3.38. Mm-hmm. You know, actually, when you pull the scam of 0.9, it's $3.38.
Gotcha. Okay, I want to jump to another call. Thanks for checking in today, Eileen. Thanks for calling.
This is Adeline. Remember me?
Oh, Adeline. I'm sorry, I read the screen wrong. Go
okay,
ahead.
I'm out here in Blue Lake, California. You came out and saw us here out in Del Arte a few months ago. It was
I
nice
sure
meeting
did.
You. But I am just steamed right now about these neocons putting down Jimmy Carter. It's as if we don't even have free speech anymore. He's absolutely right about the Bush administration. And, of course, if you remember, it was Jimmy Carter who put the solar panels on the White House, which were taken down by Reagan. Also, when we had a gas crunch a few years ago and Jimmy Carter was president, he enacted a 55-mile-per-hour speed limit.
Oops, that was actually Richard Nixon who imposed the 55.
Oh, I thought it was harder. Well, anyway.
But I agree with you. For the White House, whoever this joker is who said that Carter is irrelevant for criticizing the president, and I'm only disappointed that Jimmy Carter soft-pedaled his remarks. He didn't retract them, but he said maybe he went too far.
I know,
and
that's a real disappointment.
He didn't
because,
go
you know,
too
far. He's the ex-president that's going around building houses for Habitat. He's not just golfing somewhere
right.
and racking up millions from his speeches, and I'm sure he's making money from his speeches, but he's out there with a hammer and nails building houses, and I am so sick of people putting down Jimmy Carter.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was one of the best presidents.
Well, I'll say this. He was not a perfect president. The way he cozied up to the Shah and let Marcos into the country are low points. But people continue to blame him for the Iranian hostage crisis. And we know that the October surprise held them until after his loss so Reagan could welcome them home on Inauguration Day.
Oh,
it was a setup. And
that
yep, exactly.
Me, Peter,
I can
screen.
Still see it. Thanks, Adeline. More of your calls coming up next. 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be.
Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Salt means that our investigation turned up nothing.
If somebody testified lying before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
And it's flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and to declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women can be. Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you retire, you don't have anything to worry about. You'll probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
And while I claim no moral superiority, I do lead a latte-free lifestyle. I have never bought a coffee at Starbucks because I am under the sway of the Reverend Billy and the Church of Not Shopping. Reverend Billy's been doing some hard time at the Tombs in New York for his interventions and exorcisms at Starbucks retail locations in Gotham City. Turn it up, because you are in the throes of the Not Shopping Gospel Choir. Wait a minute, there he is. It's the voice of Reverend Billy. Hey, Reverend.
Hallelujah.
Reverend Billy, bless you. How are you doing today?
Oh, Brother Peter B., it's good to hear your voice today. Hallelujah. Here we are in lovely downtown Brooklyn, New York. Praise be.
Well, I am so happy to hear your voice, and I was just visiting your blog at revbilly.com.
Amen.
And you've been doing some hard time on our behalf.
I've been down in the tombs, on the third day, in emulation of that wonderful fair trade anti-sweatshop rebel, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I resurrected.
Yeah.
I'm back again to talk to you, St. Peter.
Now,
hallelujah.
Reverend Billy, tell us about the occasion of sin known as Starbucks coffee retail shops.
Starbucks did a remarkable thing a few years ago when it started persuading many progressive people that it was a fair trade company, and it's not. It's almost 97% not fair trade. And we've been betrayed by big multinational corporations. We know that feeling of false advertising. And yet, Starbucks persuaded many of us that it was the one good company. Maybe it's those big green-tinted ads it takes out in the daily newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of got the word out there that they give their workers medical coverage. It turns out they are labor abusers. We work with the Starbucks Union here in New York City. We know whereof we speak, Brother Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Amen, hallelujah.
Now, give us a quick shot of what the labor conditions are like at a Starbucks. I have no idea.
Mostly, they don't let the people plan their lives, Brother Peter. If you're part-time, you can't get the full-time security. You're part-time, and you get moved from Starbucks to Starbucks to Starbucks. Then you don't know how many hours you get. You don't know where you have to go. They keep everybody guessing. That way, you're not in one Starbucks for very long. You don't get those bonding, those brotherly and sisterly bonds with some of your fellow baristas, the kind of thing that makes it possible to organize a union local. Amen, hallelujah. They don't want you fraternizing quite that way. Amen, hallelujah.
Now, did Starbucks adopt the labor practices of Walmart? Do they ever lock their people in the stores overnight?
Walmart is the devil. Walmart's in a class by itself. Amen, hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Starbucks, at least, is Clintonian. Tries to triangulate a little bit. Tries to at least have the impression that it gives some money to the people in Guatemala, the people in Chiapas, the people in Ethiopia that bring their beans to market. Maybe once in a while they give a little bit of money to a clinic somewhere. Maybe they'll make a loan available to somebody. Just, if nothing else, for the advertising. They're Clintonian. They're triangulators. Walmart! Well, that's like the robber baron in the 19th century there. That's another category of devil.
Well, maybe you had a chance in your local paper there, the New York Times, which they actually delivered to my home. There was a fascinating story about Hillary Clinton and her service on the Walmart board. And they said that she was a bit of an agitator with Sam Walton and the all-male cast in trying to create more opportunities for women there, particularly in management. But they said to a man that Hillary Clinton never brought up issues related to union organizing at Walmart stores.
I just think that the Clintons have to pass into the sunset now. They're my neighbors up here. They're up in Westchester County. Hallelujah. He's got his office over here in Harlem where they have too many Starbucks already. I'll tell you, it's just they must have just noticed that some of us activists have been able to keep Walmart out of all five boroughs in New York City. Amen, hallelujah. Hillary or no Hillary, we got no Walmart here. Amen. That feels so good to me. Feels good to me standing in a window here, looking out the window across the beautiful Brooklyn late in the day, and here on early summer, I have that wonderful kind of heavenly feeling. Nowhere in my window view do I see the evil W.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Billy, tell us about your trips to the tombs, and what did you actually do to invite the authorities to keep you overnight?
The Savitri T and myself, we traveled to the World Social Forum in January in Nairobi, Kenya. We talked to some Ethiopian farmers who told us, and we corroborated this later with Equal Exchange and Boston Global Exchange in San Francisco. They said that they've been trying to own the names of their own coffees. Sadamo, Harar, and Yirgacheffe coffees. These are the champagnes of coffees. These are the oldest coffees, the most famous coffees, the best coffees. I just have to say that I have Yirgacheffe fair trade coffee in my bones right now. Amen. It feels good. Helps me preach. Amen. Hallelujah.
I can tell.
We were so angry from what we heard about Starbucks blocking the trademarking efforts of the Ethiopian farmers. We came home, and I was in the tombs within a few days. Because what I had to do when I got off that jet, the JFK, I had to get into the car service. I had to go straight to Astor Place in downtown New York and go straight with the Stop Shopping Gospel Choir into that Starbucks. I had to exorcise the demons from their cash registers. Amen, hallelujah.
And did they think you actually were trying to extract cash from the cash registers, and that's what caused them to call the cops?
I don't believe that there was that confusion. We taped them the whole way. We taped myself the whole way. put it up on YouTube, and go to YouTube, and put in Reverend Billy, and then put in Sidamo, S-I-D-A-M-O, Sidamo.
Yeah.
Sidamo, the oldest coffee, the magic coffee. The coffee comes from the volcanic soil of the Ethiopian hills. You just go there. You'll see the exorcism. You see, my hand is not in that cash drawer. No, it's on the top of the computer. Amen, hallelujah. And I'm just asking the fabulous unknown, the God that is not a product, blow the money the other way, away from Howard Schultz, back the other way, out to Ethiopia, out to the coffee farmers. Kids are starving. Anybody seen the movie Black Gold knows that.
Yeah.
Amen, hallelujah. Some of the poorest people in the world. Starbucks is selling Sidamo coffee for $25 a pound with Ethiopian graphics on the bag. Come on now. Don't you know a sin when you commit it, children? Amen. Back away from the product. Hallelujah.
Well, Reverend Billy, I want to thank you for this inspiring update. I'm glad that you're a free man today.
Amen. I'm glad to be free, too, Brother Peter.
And I want to direct people to your website, revbilly.com. You got any West Coast operations planned this summer?
Oh, we would love to come out. Of course, we're coming to the Burning Man. We're coming out to Burning Man. Going to stay with the temple crew out there and have a little Sunday ritual. We'll be out on the West Coast, and maybe we'll come into San Francisco. Maybe we'll go up to Bolinas, go down to Woodside, go over to Vallejo, go into North Beach, find a little B&B, find some fair trade coffee.
All right. Well, Billy, I want to thank you for the update, and I want you to know that over the weekend I was at the Magic Theater watching a monologue, a new one by Josh Kornbluth.
Oh, Josh, Brother Josh!
And I had...
Amen, hallelujah!
I had a whole stream of warm memories about Solo Mio and the roots...
Oh, the Solo Mio Festival. Oh, Josh, yes.
The roots of Reverend Billy.
Amen, hallelujah.
You're an inspiration, brother. Thank you.
My memory's coming back now.
All right.
Hallelujah.
Thanks a lot for the update. And go get some fair trade coffee. I think you're coming down a little bit.
I know. I've got to go pack up again. I've got to save my soul. I've got to find some fair trade, shade-grown, biodiverse coffee. Amen, hallelujah.
Thank you, Reverend Billy.
Bless
you. What a guy. Go ahead, back away. Back away from that corporate coffee, from that corporate retail experience, and Walmart and Sam's Club in particular. And if you want to learn more about Reverend Billy, his act, and his actions, go to revbilly.com. Four minutes after the hour, we're heading up to a break in a couple of minutes. All my lines are open for you in the free speed zone, and no more calls that we're expecting except for yours. So if there's something you'd like to comment on, I'd like to hear from you. If you were offended like Adeline was about the way that people, particularly neocons, have been trashing Jimmy Carter for speaking the truth, get on the line. Let's talk about it. And anything else that's on your mind, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I want to thank Janice from Coos Bay, listening on KBBR 1340. She just dropped me an email with an article that I missed. It was posted on Friday last week at truthout.org by a friend of the Peter B. Collins Show, Matthew Rothschild, who is the editor of The Progressive. And this is a very disturbing piece of information that you may be faintly aware of, but there is a new wrinkle. The administration has issued National Security Presidential Directive NSPD 51 and Homeland Security Presidential Directive HSPD 20, and the White House released it on May 9th. There's been almost no coverage about this. The subject of the document, National Continuity Policy. It defines a catastrophic emergency as any incident, regardless of location, that results in extraordinary levels of mass casualties, damage, or disruption severely affecting the U.S. population, infrastructure, environment, economy, or government function. This could mean another 9/11, a Katrina, an earthquake here in California. And Matthew Rothschild goes on, the document emphasizes the need to ensure the continued function of our form of government under the Constitution, including the functioning of the three separate branches of government. And it reads, the president shall lead the activities of the federal government for ensuring constitutional government. Now, this is something that we've seen as the Posse Comitatus Act was quietly amended last year to permit deployment of U.S. troops inside our border. And this strengthens the power of a president, including this president, during a real or alleged national emergency. Once again, fascism rears its ugly head. George W. Bush makes another grab for power, as if he has not grabbed enough since he got put into power by a bunch of activist judges in 2000. We'll take a break and return for more of your phone calls. So get on the line and let's talk at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
To noon. Thanks for joining us, The Ed Schultz Show, where America comes to talk.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a filler affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with crumble stew. A side of couscous and a Baba Ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Tomorrow Matters, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, will be moving from Sundays to a daily spot Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll still be bringing in the guests, and you'll still be calling in with your questions and ideas, and we'll still be working collectively to set the standards for a more sustainable future. But we'll be doing it 5 times a week. Starting May 14th, join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Sober Stones Big Sur Jade is now available. These deep green jade stones are rare, found in a tiny cove south of Big Sur. If you or someone in your family suffers from any addiction, these pocket stones will remind them recovery is possible. Used by Native Indians for thousands of years in healing, they'll remind you of your commitment to a sober life. Call 521-7917 for your Sober Stone. $15 will include shipping and handling. 521-7917.
Folks, all right, folks, here we go. Let's talk about what's happening. We want to mention that, we had a problem on northbound 17 at the summit, but it appears everything now cleared up, so that's certainly some good news. It looks like Santa Clara, we had a southbound 101 between Great American and Parkway, extra slow traffic because of an earlier problem. Salinas, southbound 101 before Veranda, very large piece of metal in the second lane from the left. Also want to take a look at... Santa Cruz problem? Well, Boulder Creek, Highway 9 at Lamond Street. It's a motorhome. Apparently ran out of gas. That motorhome is blocking the roadway. Other than that, no other major stalls to tell you about, and which is certainly some good news. We're going to let you know their support is brought to you by the folks at Kaiser Permanente.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I continue to have a phone line available just for you. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the free speech zone.
Will they sing it? Will they sing it?
9 minutes away from the hour, and Patrick joins us from Ferndale this afternoon. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, Peter.
How you doing today?
Good.
Tell me what's on your mind.
Well, I just wanted an update on if our military needs a raise, and if they do, why don't they have one, and who's responsible for not giving it to them?
Well, we had a very interesting segment on this program last Friday with Lawrence J. Korb. Larry Korb was an undersecretary at the Pentagon during the Reagan administration, and he's now at the Center for American Progress. And there is a battle underway in Washington right now because the Democratic Congress wants to give a bigger raise to the troops than the White House wants to do. They are half a percentage point apart. The White House is agreeing to a 3% raise, and the Democrats want to jack that up to 3.5%. It amounts to about $15 a week for the average Army private who is serving right now in Iraq. And the Bush administration is threatening a veto if the House sends it a bill with a raise over 3%. And I think that's criminal. After all the blank checks that they've written for the contractors, for the cronies, for the oil companies, the tax cuts for the wealthy, and they want to penalize our troops, and even 3.5% isn't enough for me. I think that it's really just another example about how they their claim to support the troops is truly empty and, frankly, bankrupt.
Now, they're not hiding anything on that bill that the president's veto on. Like, you know how they're always, people are always putting extra things on those and, you know, different pork barrel and whatnot?
Well, in fact, not to my knowledge, but I have to be clear that I haven't seen the whole bill. It is part of a whopper. It's a $650 billion Pentagon budget for the fiscal year that starts in October, and it doesn't even include the money for Iraq.
$650 billion?
Right. And if I recall, when Bill Clinton left office, the Pentagon budget was about $450 billion. We never got the peace dividend that they talked about in the 90s. And then the Bushies came in and jacked it up even further. And keep in mind that the $500 billion that's been spent on Iraq and Afghanistan military and occupation activities isn't included in those numbers.
And how much of this $650 billion, if they pass anything at all, will go to raise the income of level of our military? It can't be that much.
No, it's you know, of course, it compounds because when you give people a raise, it goes up over time. And I don't have it in front of me, Patrick, but as I recall, the cost in year one is about $1 billion or $1.5 billion, and it rolls up in a five-year period to cost a total of somewhere between $6 and $8 billion.
Well, what can we do to put some pressure on these people and have them get something passed so we can take care of the people that are out there fighting for us?
Well, I think that you should contact Mike Thompson, who is your Democratic member. And also, you certainly can send word to the two U.S. senators from California. I don't think either one of them will be opposing this proposed increase. But you need to look at Republicans and also put pressure on the White House. What's interesting is that this veto threat is kind of empty because this hugely, grossly inflated Pentagon budget passed through the House with very few negative votes. It's definitely veto-proof in the House.
Well, that's good. I mean, we need to get something out to those people.
Well, I agree. To be penny-pinching this late in this misgotten military adventure or misbegotten military adventure is tragically wrong. Patrick,
yeah,
thanks for your...
It doesn't make any sense.
Thanks a lot for your call today.
Thanks, Peter.
Appreciate that. A couple of quick program notes just so we're all up to speed. Tomorrow and Wednesday, I will be here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And we are going to be producing programs tomorrow and Wednesday that will air this weekend on a new affiliate for the Peter B. Collins Show. It's the leading progressive talk station in the country, KPOJ in Portland, Oregon. And when I return from some time off next week, we're going to shift those days to Thursday and Friday. So a Thursday show will play on Saturday in Portland, and a Friday show will play on Sunday there. And it's going to help us reach a whole new group of listeners in the largest city in Oregon. So we're very excited about that. But what it means is that tomorrow and Wednesday I won't be giving you any information about what I'm about to tell you. I will be taking some time off Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday, going to my stepson's graduation in the East. And Tony Truppiano will be sitting in on Thursday, Friday, and Tuesday. You'll hear pre-recorded shows, The Best of Peter B. Collins, on Memorial Day Monday. And then I will be back in the saddle here a week from Wednesday, which is the 30th of May. So I hope you will be very kind to Tony Truppiano. Give him lots of phone calls and lots of encouragement. And he will bring you his own brand of progressive politics from Motown, Detroit City. And I'm very glad that he'll be able to sit in for me, because I know that many of our listeners in the Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz area, as well as Eureka, Humboldt County, are familiar with Tony from the old days at IE America Radio, which is where he and Tom Hartman and Peter Werby and Mike Malloy and I were all radio pals. So that's what's going on here the rest of this week. Also, for our listeners in Coos Bay, I want to direct you to the archives via peterbcollins.com. Friday's show included a great conversation with your Democratic Congressman, Peter DeFazio. He joined us in the 5 o'clock hour last Friday while you were listening to local programming related to the controversy over a proposed LNG terminal in Coos Bay. And so if you want to catch up with that, go to my website at peterbcollins.com, load the program from last Friday, and then if you just want to hear DeFazio, fast forward to the third hour, 5 p.m. We had a very lively conversation about his bill, which didn't pass last week, which was an attempt to ban the Bush administration from attacking Iran without congressional approval. And you've got a great congressman there in Peter DeFazio. So catch up with that if you'd like. And we'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same stations, for another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill.
We meet again. Happy trails to you.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wine, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
People are talking about the show on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are, in many ways, so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A startling conclusion comes from a fresh look at the data on one of the world's best-selling diabetes drugs.
Zevandia appeared to increase the risk of heart attack by 43%. And the risk of cardiovascular death by 64%.
Dr. Stephen Nissen at the Cleveland Clinic published his findings in the New England Journal of Medicine. There's careful reaction from the Food and Drug Administration.
The FDA is acknowledging the fact that such a risk appears to exist from the accumulated clinical trials database.
But, says Dr. Robert Meyer, there's contradictory data, so the drug is not being ordered off the market. Patients are advised to consult with their doctors. At GlaxoSmithKline, spokeswoman Marianne Ryan insists Avandia is safe.
When you look at the totality of the data, we believe it shows that Avandia has a comparable cardiovascular profile to other oral medicines taken to fight diabetes.
Avandia helps control blood sugar by sensitizing the body to insulin. Tomorrow, the FDA is expected to approve a breakthrough birth control pill that shuts down the menstrual cycle. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato takes a look.
What would you say about a birth control pill that stops periods completely?
I would say that's a great product.
The makers of Librel hope a lot of other women will agree with that. Gynecologist Ann Davis, who helped test this pill, believes it's safe. She says just like now, there are certain women who shouldn't use hormonal contraception.
A woman, for instance, who's older and smokes, a woman who's had a cardiovascular disease, those types of issues.
In studies, 6 in 10 women had no bleeding after 6 months on Librel. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
In the Senate.
Today we take up for the solemn task of immigration reform, not just because we may, but because we must.
Democrat Ted Kennedy is one of the architects of the compromise with the Bush administration. Republican Jeff Sessions says it's flawed. He especially doesn't like the provision for extended families.
Why should the fact that we give one person a glorious thing, citizenship in the United States, entitle him to bring tens of other people?
Gasoline prices are at an all-time high, $3.22 a gallon on average. But CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv says some relief is on the way from overseas.
The head of the government's Energy Information Administration says while the main problem